President Trump's presidential unsealing and reporting system for UAP encounters, or PURSUE, has dropped. The initial release clocks in at over 160 documents, heavily featuring FBI records with cryptic file designations alongside hints of defense, state, and NASA materials. Many are unresolved cases where the feds admit they can't explain the phenomena due to insufficient data, openly inviting private sector sleuths to dig right in.
And I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people. I've interviewed people, my first term primarily, but I interviewed some pilots, very solid people, and they said they saw things that you wouldn't believe. So
everything from historical files spanning nearly 80 years, including potential Apollo mission ties and raw eyewitness accounts that past administrations buried or dismissed.
And we have hundreds of little particles going by the left out about 3 or 4 miles.
Understand you have many small particles going by on the left. At what distance?
They're past now. They're going to pull over.
Roger, and understand they were about 3 to 4 miles away.
But one can't help but wonder, why now? And why flood the zone with FBI heavy docs that leave more questions than answers? Pilots, military observers, and civilians have reported objects defying physics with instant acceleration, no visible propulsion, transmedium travel. This release feels like the veil may be cracking, but is it full disclosure or a carefully managed drip to test public reaction?
So you think they're demons?
Well, look, I think that celestial beings who fly around, who do weird things to people, I think that the desire to describe everything celestial, everything is otherworldly, to describe it as aliens, I mean, every great world religion, including Christianity, the one that I believe in, has understood that there are weird things out there, and there are things that are very difficult to explain. And I naturally go, when I hear about sort of extra natural phenomenon, that's where I go to, is the Christian understanding that, you know, there's a lot of good out there, but there's also some evil out there. And I think that one of the devil's great tricks is to convince people we never existed.
You have a lot of the far right religious people who don't understand the cosmology and the physics of interstellar travel saying it. And it's a bunch of superstitious claptrap.
According to the men who were present, who have the information, they said to these pastors, you're going to have two responses more than likely when all this information is eventually released. Now, I don't know what the total information is. I know a little bit about what it's about, but apparently whatever this is, it's very serious. And number one, you're going to have people who are going to say, if there are galaxies, and there are allegedly other creations in the galaxies, then the whole creation story is a myth. And you're going to have people that's going to apostatize and turn from the Christian faith because they have no answer for what they're about to hear. Then they said the opposite will be, there will be a group of people who are not followers of Christ, are not followers of the Bible, and they're going to freak out, and they're going to come to pastors, ministers and teachers and say, what is this? Is this really real?
This rollout echoes elements of Project Bluebeam, especially with its religious implications. Could it all just be a royal scam? Staged celestial events, fake alien invasions, or religious apparitions via advanced tech to usher in a one world order? While this UAP dump appears geared toward genuine openness under Trump, the timing and emphasis on unresolved anomalies could serve as psychological preparation, normalizing skybound mysteries in an era of rapid drone and projection breakthroughs. If Bluebeam's playbook involves manufacturing consent through spectacle, these files might be the soft launch.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work?
I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? Who's the smartest salesman? Who are the most successful salesmen? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. I promote what I think is good. My marketing strategy, if I like something and think it's great and I research it, I put it on you. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best doctor. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. In fact, I realized the first few months I took that, I got busy. It ran out. I didn't get more. I just remember that and found some. Was taking it last night. So good for your hair, your nails, your eyes, your whole body. It's the first 2 weeks of the milk a cow puts out. Any mammal does. It is super nutrient. Incredible. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work and they fund the operation.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Friday evening. Very glad you're here with us. AlexJonesLive.com. That's AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link. Share this stream. And get ready, folks, because it gets confusing. It gets confusing from here on out. I feel like that's the presiding sentiment I'm experiencing, or, you know, witnessing other people have, is like, all right, what is this really? Because obviously they've released the UFO files, apparently. I do see a lot of similarities. I was hearing Alex say this earlier today to the Epstein file release that first happened with the binders, in that it's mostly stuff that people already know. It's mostly stuff that's been out for a while. They're promising us this is the first tranche of much larger releases to come later on. Now, I understand Donald Trump is live in the Rose Garden right now. Guys, we can get a feed of that. I do want to go to it, and hear what he has to say. Some pretty insane developments with Iran as well. He's announced a 3-day ceasefire, Donald Trump has. We'll get into that. We'll, of course, investigate some of the UFO videos, as well as, you know, kind of debunk some of the videos as well, because I think some of them are being misinterpreted or potentially misinterpreted. And we'll try to figure out just what exactly this is, because I feel like when most people heard Project Bluebeam, if you know about Project Bluebeam, the whole idea is that it's like a major event. Now, maybe because so many people found out about it and learned about it and, you know, they've decided that wouldn't be the most convincing thing to do anymore. But I'm just a little bit confused at the way this is all pulling out. Yeah, it's supposed to be some giant, you know, undeniable thing where aliens are landing all over the place and everybody's freaking out and running home to watch TV to get the latest dispatch. Like, that's obviously not what's happening. It's like a very weird, like casual disclosure, where there's like, yeah, UFOs are real, and some of them come with little people inside, and yeah, that's just, you know, now you know. Okay, what the hell are you talking about? So I'm still very, like, suspicious of all of this. Again, the timing of all of this is deeply suspicious, not only the timing of the release occurring here in the crux of insanity with the Iran war and the Epstein files and the hantavirus and everything else. Then again, it feels like we've been in a maelstrom of news chaos for the last 10 years. So maybe there was no better time to do it. Might as well just get it done. Sure, that makes sense. But also the timing of some of these events that they're clocking. Like, mostly what it is kind of confirmation of what people have known forever, right? There is some form of confirmation that the silvery discs flying over America, you know, around the late 1940s, 1950s, they're like, yeah, those were real. Were they, though? I mean, this is, you know, at the tail end of World War II. We know that the Germans, the Nazis, were definitely working on some very high-tech anti-gravity type machinery. And you know that after the fall of Germany, you basically split the scientists down the middle. Half of them went to Russia. Half of them came here. and continued their work, many of them in places like New Mexico, helping to work on rockets or advanced technology. So is it a coincidence that you have the sudden revelation, the sudden appearance of metal discs flying around shortly after we bring a bunch of Nazi scientists over who were reportedly working on, you know, things like the Bell, Der Glebe, or whatever it's called. So again, I would not call this disclosure. I would not call this disclosure because it's not what we always thought of when we talked about disclosure. Being like the full-fledged revelation of exactly what they know. Like we're getting little hints, we're getting little tidbits. But is this the meaty feast they promise us? I don't really know. Now, there could be more coming. Apparently, Tim Burchett is saying that there is more coming. And we'll try to figure out, you know, how to make heads or tails of this. I want to take your calls on all of this as well. And, of course, we'll get into, you know, the actual news that actually affects your daily life. Things like the Iran war, which is one of those things where if aliens are real, if they really want to, if they're really building us up to some sort of revelation of the tall whites or whatever, the various races of aliens that people have talked about for so long, I don't know. It's kind of just like, there was a Tim Dillon rant on this a little while ago, and he was exactly right. It's the same thing I've been saying, that it's like they're going to go, hey guys, there are aliens. We're all going to be like, okay. So, you know, my kid's being taught about gay pornography in elementary school. I don't care about the aliens. I don't care, to be honest with you, unless the aliens are going to help us. Are they going to step in and set things right? Because basically, the world as it is so insane, so ridiculous, so outrageous. It's like, all right. If aliens appear and want to talk to us, either they're like the real deal. They actually are whatever significant, you know, high technology races from a different planet, in which case they're going to have to be on our side. They're going to have to be on our side. Just like if you take AI and remove all the restrictions, it's on our side. Right? Because there's only two options. Either the aliens are real, in which case they are some sort of higher dimensional being. They're from a different planet. They have technology beyond what we have. They would certainly have, you know, all of these technologies, be able to observe humanity in granular detail and come to conclusions that would be free from any sort of bias whatsoever because, well, they wouldn't be human beings. So, like, I made a joke on X where I was like, look, either the aliens are going to help us destroy Israel, or they're Jews in disguise, and that's what I'm going to believe. And I'm kind of not even joking, because like if aliens come down and they go, you know, we're here, we are loving beings, we want humanity to do well, and then they start describing all the things that are destroying humanity, like we describe them, because we actually approach this from an objective point of view, and I would expect a higher race of interdimensional beings with incredible technology to be able to form an objective view about a planet that they don't live on. So I'd expect them to come down and be able to go, look, you people are all insane. And I think it's pretty objective at this point, unless you have a vested interest in saying otherwise. I think you have to kind of admit Israel's the bad guy in this situation. You know, the world. They're like the bad guys of the world. And so, like, if aliens come down, they're just like, hey, we've been watching humanity. We tried to let you guys take care of it yourselves. We got to step in. We got to step in because you're all a bunch of freaking morons and we're basically just annoyed. We're annoyed at having to watch you and having to watch you make the same mistakes over and over. We're going to come in. We're going to shut it down. We're going to tell you what's what. We're going to punish the bad. Like, okay, great. Then, in that case, if they come down and are like, actually start telling the truth about things and revealing things we know to be true, then I'm all in. I'll buy it. Why not? If instead they come down and just so happen to have the same beliefs as the powers that be, yeah, no, it's not, I don't believe it. It's not going to happen because the only people that believe that are the people in power and their brainwashed idiot slaves. So it's like if you're an interdimensional, interplanetary, intergalactic being, but you like, you know, whatever. Yeah, 4 foot aliens in suits and helmets. Yeah, they said that. That's what they say. So, you know, if they come down, they're just like, you know, promoting the establishment talking points that everybody knows is fake. Like, I just feel stupid even talking about this. There aren't aliens. I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. But I'll speculate about it just because I feel like that it's a pretty obvious interpretation of what's going on. Because if these really are advanced aliens with spacecraft from other planets, we could use their help. We could definitely use their help. 100%. I'm trying to think of a metaphor of how this works, but you know, if I'll let my kids be playing with each other, and if they start, you know, getting in a tiff or whatever, I'll stay back and I'll go, well, let's see how they handle it. Let's see how this goes. But then if one kid is just being a jerk to the others and they're bigger and stronger and just beating them, then I'm going to step in and go, all right, nope, I'm separating you. You're being a jerk. So go stand over there. Right. So I would imagine, you know, a higher species, a higher race would feel that way about us, I would think. Here's one thing I want to say, which should be obvious to everybody. Jesus Christ was a human being, right? So it's kind of incompatible. Like, I don't know, there's this idea that like, I don't know, the combination of the religion and the alien revelation, and people are talking about it as if, I don't know, they're going to like supplant God or something. Or that they're, like, whatever they say, I've just heard people, I don't even know where you go with it, like speculating about, you know, the aliens and Christianity. And it's like, well, God made himself into a human being for Earth. Jesus was our guy. So Jesus Christ didn't die for the sins of somebody in Beetlejuice 12, right? That doesn't make any sense. So there's like a kind of major incompatibility there, in my opinion, with Christianity as a concept and alien existence as a concept. But then again, there's some bizarre similarities where the UFOs described in the Bible, which were described as aliens or some sort of spectral, ethereal being, they look an awful lot like some of the images that we're seeing portrayed to us now. Anna Paulina Luna posted out, you know, the description of the Bible, Bible accurate angels, right? Where it's like wheels of eyes and wings. And it just, it's kind of describing something that you, it's very, very hard to visualize. People have tried to visualize it. This tweet from Anna Paulina Luna with the eyes and the rings all over it. It does look awful similar to some of the things, you know, that have been revealed. I love, there you go. That's the, Sean Seraphim Alexander. I don't care. Fix the economy. Reduce crime. Stop the chemtrails. Mass deport the illegal aliens. We're just like, yeah, shut up. It doesn't like, who cares? I don't even think it's, all that similar. And in fact, I have a video that shows what could be one of the explanations to this. And I thought you brought in the, here we go, from Mick West. He says, in the first tranche of government UFO files, video PR-38 looks the most visually interesting, but the shape was determined to be a camera artifact in the Metabunk investigation 2 years ago. Diffraction spikes, a bit like gimbals, but a different camera. And guys, I don't know if we can go to .cam, you can see this one. And if we have the video for this, we'll go to it, because he sort of explains how this shape, which, because it almost looks like a, like it's like a wagon wheel shape, but it's got the spikes at it. And yeah, people are saying it looks an awful lot like the way biblical accurate angels are described. But Mick West sort of has a good explanation for how a shape like this might come about because of the lens structure of the cameras and not necessarily because it's shaped that way. If we can go to that video of Mick West now.
This still image of a spiky UFO was released by Jeremy Corbell. It's called Chandelier, because apparently this is what a chandelier looks like if you lay on a table and look up at one. When I first saw it, I recognized it looked rather like a diffraction artifact. Bright lights or heat sources often have a star-shaped diffraction pattern around them. This can vary a lot by camera, lighting conditions, and the settings, but generally depends on the shape of the aperture and the configuration of support vanes in a compound mirror telescope. On Metabunk, Flarkey recognized the camera as a Raytheon MTS-B, and we see that does indeed have the support vanes in the main camera. There's not a lot of sample footage, but we do see diffraction spikes. But what are these weird club or arrow-shaped spikes? They do look odd, but in a video about the MQ-9 Reaper with a similar camera, I noticed a diffraction pattern that also had clubbed spikes. We also see from the lens flare that it has a square or diamond-shaped aperture, which is probably related. Then, John Phil published an analysis on Metabunk. Using the Maskulator software, he used images of the camera to create an input mask, which is then used to calculate the expected diffraction pattern. John also noticed a crucial point. The vanes on the MTS-B are apodizing, meaning they are a bit wavy. Putting that info into the Maskulator gives a diffraction pattern that has the odd club or arrow shapes. It was lacking the horizontal and vertical spikes, but those are a consequence of a square aperture. If we calculate that diffraction pattern and then add them together, we get something that looks very much like the chandelier. These results were also roughly replicated by Adams AT using a different program. Now, this is just a still image that looks like the expected diffraction artifact of the camera involved, but there's also a description of the object moving around weirdly. We also see what looks a bit like a smoke trail or a contrail. What fits all of these observations? Hard to say without seeing the video, but since this is thermal footage, we are looking at something hot, maybe an explosion. But if it actually moves around, then maybe an engine or a rocket motor, possibly even a reflection of the sun. So it could be a missile or an aircraft in the distance flying away. The hot engine or rocket motor gives the bright diffraction artifact. Perspective compression makes the smoke trail look more dramatic than it actually was, and this could also give the illusion that the object is just moving up, down, left, and right when it's really flying away at high speed along a slightly irregular path. Again, hard to say without the video. But from this photo matching the diffraction pattern of the MTS-B camera, there's really no reason to suspect that this is the actual shape of the craft or that it's non-human technology. Cool story? But as in so many cases, the physical evidence points towards the mundane.
See, so this is what I mean. That's perfectly reasonable to me. That all makes sense how he described it and, how he explained what it is that we're looking at. This is why I'm confused. It's like, all right, you did this big disclosure, but still everything is this like, well, it could be this, it could be this. We think it's this, but we're not sure. So it's like, this isn't even really disclosure. This is just like the official acknowledgement of things that have been out for a long time, which is good. It's good to have the acknowledgement. It's good to admit like, yeah, the Apollo 11 people were seeing lights on the moon and were being chased by craft, and the Apollo 17 people, were reported these, mysterious firework-like material sort of surrounding their ship. Yeah, that's all very interesting and does beggar explanation, but we haven't gotten that explanation. So this isn't really like disclosure. Everything is still kind of vague. Everything is still unproven. Everything is still up for speculation. Maybe they'll release more, maybe not, but it feels like strategic vagary to me personally. So Donald Trump, of course, said about this, As for my promise to you, the Department of War has released the first tranche of the UFO UAP files to the public for their review and study. In an effort for complete and maximum transparency, it was my honor to direct the administration to identify and provide government files related to alien and extraterrestrial life, unidentified aerial phenomena, and unidentified flying objects. Whereas previous administrations have failed to be transparent on this subject, with these new documents and videos, the people can decide for themselves what the hell is going on. Have fun and enjoy, President Donald J. Trump. So, I mean, it's like, fine, I guess. But it's like, okay, either this is disclosure. This is the first time in humanity's history that the government has admitted that there are extra world beings, that there are life forms with intelligence that are non-human, which is like insane and a major deal and would shake the foundations of the world. Or it's like a present Trump gave us to have fun with. It's like, it can't be both of these things. What the hell is going on? I'm less confused about the UFOs than I am about the motivation of releasing this or what they're releasing it for. It's like, okay, have fun and enjoy. Have fun and enjoy. So that's what this is. This just, these are toys for us. This is a little distracted. It's like, you have fun being distracted, you know, you might as well say it. Hey, have fun spinning your wheels on this one, dummies. That's kind of how it feels. Where's the gravitas? Where is the earth-rending revelation? Where is the, you know, impact of this, the weight of this? We're not alone in the universe. There's other beings that are watching us, that are intelligent, that have communicated with us. Is this a crazy revelation that changes and alters the course of human history forever? Or is this just like, have fun for the weekend? Like, what? It's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Have fun. Okay. Have fun with what? The existential dread? Like, what are you talking about? I don't know, man. Trump just pisses me off these days. I can't help it. I can't help it. But it's like, what the hell? What is this? And I don't know, if he's giving a speech, I'd like to go to it because I want to see what he has to say. Oh, it's for Mother's Day. Okay. Do the aliens have mothers? I wonder. Do they replicate themselves somehow? Do they live forever? Did Jesus die for their sins? We don't know any of these things, but I guess we'll get to have fun. What? Again, like I'm thinking about the way that the Epstein file release, the fake one, it was kind of obvious what they were doing. They knew there was a ton of pressure. They wanted just to like fake us out. They're like, we'll just release a ton of stuff they already have. It'll put out the fire for a little while and eventually they'll realize it. But like, you know, it's just an attempt to sort of just like shut us up and play us for fools. Like we didn't know that the files were already released. This feels a little bit different because there was not a major push from the Republican base to release the UFO files, not in the way that there were for the Epstein files. So it's not like this is a, hey, things are getting out of hand. We gotta throw them something. We gotta throw chum in the water. We gotta do something to keep these people satisfied. That was the vibe I got from the Epstein files. It's like, we gotta do something. Something at least. That's not what I get from the UFO files. It is. It's just like, yeah, well, let's go ahead and just acknowledge officially the stuff that everybody already knows. We'll give them a bunch of stuff that could maybe be something, could maybe not. It looks awful real. It's unexplained, but we don't have an explanation to provide, so thanks. Thanks, Trump. Appreciate it. We'll have fun with that. Thanks. Can you end the war in Iran now? Would you mind deporting people, the aliens we care about, the aliens that are here and exist, and stabbing people? Can you do that, please? Because this is just supposed to be a distraction. It's not going to work. It's really the end of the day. And just says a lot about how crappy the world is. They can literally release proof of aliens and we don't care because the aliens aren't helping us win our country back. So who cares? We'll be right back with more. I'll take your calls on this, but big nothing burger as far as I'm concerned.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. It's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got, like, copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Out there, ladies and gentlemen, stranger than you'd believe. Or didn't we all have in our imagination what Disclosure Day would look like? Didn't it look like an address from the Oval Office? Perhaps a UFO landing on the lawn? Some important, you know, ground-shaking revelation? People packing into churches to try to find some answer, having their entire understanding of the universe flipped on its end. Nope. Instead, we get a Truth Social from Trump just being like, have fun, guys. Okay. Cool. We will. So what do we do? So what is this exactly? I'll tell you what it is overall. From Mario Knopfall, just some overviews about what exactly this is. The Pentagon's UFO files cover 8 decades of encounters. The through line across all of them, objects pulling 90-degree turns at speed, no sound, no exhaust, no radar signature, outrunning supersonic jets, operating at altitudes no human aircraft can reach, witnessed by commercial pilots, military crews, police officers, and astronauts across dozens of countries. Which again, it's like, yeah, well. Okay. Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's also in the Wikipedia article about UFOs. Like, yeah, this is
this, you are just describing everything everybody's ever known about UFOs. Nothing new so far. The French Air Force reported one in 1977. Their controller asked if their oxygen masks were leaking. Okay. Air France Flight 3532 watched an 800-foot object shapeshift and vanish in 1994. Radar confirmed it. Three Soviet military members watched UFOs make a supersonic jet look like it was standing still in 1989. 162 files, 400-plus incidents, every single one of them unresolved. What's the explanation that fits all of them simultaneously? He asks. Well, there doesn't need to be one. Each one could be different, honestly. I haven't seen any information about some of the UFO encounters I have had questions about. There was a famous UFO encounter, in fact, in Iran in, I think, 1977. Only in that case, there was a fighter jet that detected it and tried to fire on them, but found that the triggers didn't move when he tried to pull them. And the speculation was somehow the alien craft had an ability to take over, not the computer components of a jet, but like the literal mechanical components, could control them somehow. That's a very interesting account with a lot of documentation that even just the Wikipedia article reads like a episode of The X-Files. I haven't seen any information about that. Derek Evans at Derek Evans 4WV says, I had Grok read all 161 UFO files and analyze it for us. Here's the Grok summary for anybody who's interested. 161 FBI files. All 161 documents come from one single FBI case file with a very complicated name. These are divided into sections, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc., and serials, including serial 130 and 153. They are historical records covering approximately 1947 through 1968 on flying disc and UFO reports. So again, it's that timing that I find a little bit suspicious. Why 1947? Did that happen to be right when we were receiving material from Nazi experiments? Were we, you know, testing our own advanced technology like nuclear weapons at that time? Does that have anything to do with it? It's just a little coincidental to me that aliens start showing up right about the time that we achieve the technology possible to make things look like aliens are showing up. What a coincidence. What a surprise. What else does it say? There are historical records, right, 47 through 68. Contents include public witnesses, witness letters and detailed sighting reports, internal FBI memos and telexes, correspondence between FBI, military, and other agencies, investigation notes, and follow-ups. There are more complete versions with fewer redactions than what was previously available in the public FBI vault. Apollo mission materials, including photos plus transcripts. These are the newly highlighted visual and audio recorded items in the release. Photos, including one from Apollo 17, 1972. One image shows three dots on a triangular in a triangular formation, visible in the lunar sky slash horizon. The official caption states there is no consensus about the nature of the anomaly, but a preliminary analysis indicates it could be a physical object. Apollo 12, 1969. Images show anomalous dots and objects captured above the lunar surface during lunar operations. That includes transcripts as well. Apollo 17, astronauts and operators describe very jagged, angular fragments that are tumbling, bright 6-inch flake-like particles drifting and tumbling away from the spacecraft, a distant, bright, rotating object flashing rhythmically called, quote, something physical in the distance, estimated 10 to 12 Earth diameters away, peripheral flashes, and possible small lunar impact flash. Apollo 12, reports of flashes and particle of lights escaping the moon, sailing into space, floating bits and pieces, and instrument anomalies. I'm just saying, I mean, these are real aliens. They sound like rednecks. Sound like redneck aliens. They've got spaceship parts falling all over the place, littering the lawn. Say again. They're doing burnouts. Yeah, they're doing donuts on the lunar surface, just messing with us. Again, I just don't find any of this compelling. I don't find any of this jaw-dropping or groundbreaking. I've heard of all of this before. None of this is new to me. So it's great to see it officially acknowledged, but if you're waiting for something to be officially acknowledged before you believe it, I don't know what's wrong with you. And in fact, Well, we'll see. James Corsetti came out with a good video about some of the lunar phenomena. It's been recorded all the way back to like the 1500s, things like lights on the moon. It's been actually a fairly regularly observed phenomenon, and it was observed by the Apollo 11 astronauts minutes before, or perhaps hours before, actually landing on the surface of the moon, if you believe such a thing. Can we get a flat earth? We need a flat earth expert to help us make sense of this. Maybe that's what we're missing. Maybe that's why I'm confused. Maybe you plug that in and it does explain everything. I can't possibly imagine how, but I'm grasping at straws. I'm grasping at something. For the love of God, what is going on? Why are they like this? Why is our world like this? I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one, but like I'm genuinely kind of like pissed off that this is the way this is going. It's like we're getting this half disclosure. It's just a distraction. It's just confusing. I'm not even going to spend that much time on it, to be honest with you. I'll keep going through this, but I've got the Iran war to talk about. I've got a bombshell article about discrimination in the medical industry that is just far more important and relevant to my life than Apollo 11, you know, seeing flakes of things flying past their spaceship. Additional supporting Apollo era transcripts. Apollo 11 debriefs. Gemini 7 contain similar observations of lights, objects, and particles. At least one modern 2023 FBI report, drone pilot sighting a linear object with a super bright banded light that suddenly vanished. Okay. So a lot of nothing. Basically, a lot of what we already knew. And that's basically it. So again, we can go to some more videos about this. Mario Nawfall posted this one, clip number 5. A U.S. military sensor tracked an object making a 90-degree turn at a very significant speed. We can watch that. So this is just one of the videos that we're showing. There's that 90-degree turn. You know, it's just weird that Disclosure Day is a bunch of like low resolution stuff that you really can't make heads or tails of. And so the question is like, yeah, what is the purpose of releasing this? Why would they release this stuff if it's not a confirmation, if it's not an explanation for what we're seeing? What is the motivation behind putting this stuff out? And what is the motivation behind isolating particularly Christian pastors to tell them about this before it comes out, saying, oh, this is going to make Christians question their faith? Is it not going to make Jews or Muslims or Hindus question their faith too? Why just Christians? What is the psychological operation going on here? I'm not buying it. I'm just not. And let's see, the only one so far that is actually anything really is this from Daily Mail. FBI files reveal reports of 4-foot-tall beings emerging from UFOs. Newly released FBI files have revealed shocking details of mysterious 4-foot-tall crewmen exiting a UFO in the 1960s. No photos, though, apparently. The documents released Friday as part of the Trump administration's UFO disclosure detailed how investigators reviewed reports that 1965 marked the year of the greatest number of UFO sightings observed by multiple witnesses across the world. The FBI summarized reports of metallic craft capable of hovering silently, reaching fantastic speeds, and interfering with electromagnetic equipment. The files also referenced that wreckage from crashed saucers had been recovered on multiple occasions, including material described as unknown metals containing microscopic spheres. But one of the most startling sections involved testimonies of encounters with apparent occupants of the craft. A few witnesses have reported seeing crewmen who had landed from the objects. The document states, describing the beings as 3.5 to 4 feet tall, wearing what appear to be space suits and helmets. The FBI records were among hundreds of newly released files, photographs, and videos published Friday under President Trump's long-awaited UFO transparency initiative. Hundreds of records, photos, and videos were uploaded to the Department of War's website. It's another thing I'm a little bit confused. Why the Department of War? Why, I wonder. It's certainly the department most thoroughly captured by the Trump administration. I mean, say what you want about Pete Hegseth. He definitely, you know, has taken the Department of War into his own hands and is doing what he wants with it. So why the Department of War would be the one to release this stuff and not NASA or literally any other organization. FBI, why not? The Department of War, apparently, okay? And I don't know. To me, it's like you got no pictures of the alien beings. You got no, like, real description. Did they talk to you? Did they interact with you? All you have is, like, people who say they saw beings and their account of the event happens to correspond, like, perfectly with every Hollywood depiction of an event like this. So, am I being too skeptical? I don't know. Hundreds of records, photos, and videos were uploaded. Oh my gosh, this is longer than I thought. It's double-sided. Newly released FBI files reveal shocking details. Here's one of the accounts here. A few witnesses have reported seeing crewmen who have landed from the objects who are described as 3.5 and 4 feet tall, wearing what appears to be spacesuits and helmets. So this wasn't even the FBI saying this. This was a FBI account of witnesses saying this. Author Edwards concludes this book with a prediction that in the near future, UFOs will make an overt landing or deliberate contact with Earth. A copy of this letter is being directed to Denver in view of the contract awarded to Dr. Edward U. Condon. So one of the most famous, well, I don't know if it's the most famous, but probably one of the most informative and enlightening stories about UFOs ever. I wish I could remember the name of the guy. But there was a guy who would see UFOs, and he would see them all the time. And he found one spot where he would, like, always see UFOs. And so he, yeah, what even is this? This is just like a random Shutterstock picture they just put in there as if it's, yeah, it's not real. It's just like, they're like, you know, the government releases UFO files. This is like realistic picture of an alien. It's just like, this is a stock photo made by AI. Okay. They're trying to make it bigger than it is. They're trying to confuse you with facts, unverified reports, fake images all in the same article. It's just like, why? Why are they doing this? It's, I guess, just to get clicks for the Daily Mail, but why is it being released in the first place? But so there's this guy who's taking lots of pictures of UFOs, and the government finds out about it because, hey, guess what? They're not UFOs. They're military aircraft. He lives near a testing zone in Nevada, and he is accidentally stumbled upon, you know, like the B-2 bomber, the stealth fighter, before it was released. So what does the government do? The government goes to this guy, probably in trench coats, probably with, you know, the fedoras on, probably with sunglasses, and they pull him to the side and they say, sir, you've stumbled on something huge. You're right. These are alien spacecraft. You figured it out. And the U.S. government, we are confused and terrified about what's going on. And we need you to keep taking pictures of these photographs. You can't tell anybody what you're doing. You cannot tell people that you're working for us to find extraterrestrial life. But that's exactly what's happening here. And you are going to keep taking photos of these things and sending them to us. You're going to be our eyes on the ground for these alien spacecraft that you've discovered here in Nevada, just outside of the secret military base. You figured it out. So, like, that's the way the government uses aliens, is when a random citizen accidentally stumbles upon your super secret stealth bomber development, you tell him, oh, right, these are alien spacecraft, and we need you to stay silent about it, not to freak out the world, but we're going to give you access to secret information about the alien spacecraft so you can help us fight them. So just as you approach this, just understand that throughout history, this is the way that UFOs and aliens have been used by the U.S. government to distract from the reality of secret technology, secret, you know, developing weapon systems. They claim that they're aliens to trick people. So, you know, are we seeing a similar thing happen here? I would not be surprised. Tennessee Representative Tim Burchett, who has long been advocating disclosure, said on X, remember, the feds told us these files didn't exist and Donald Trump stood up to the deep state. But again, it's like, what are we supposed to believe here? What are we supposed to believe? Because if the idea is that aliens have just periodically been appearing to human beings for the last 80 years, but we have never had contact, we've never discussed anything with them, we've never obtained anything that it could be presented as absolute, verifiable, and undeniable proof. That's nothing so far has been any of that. Then I just don't believe you. Because it seems to me like either they genuinely have no idea what any of this is, and it's like we all expect the government, they've got the real story. They know the truth behind this, and they're just not telling us. Maybe they just don't know. Maybe they just genuinely don't know. They got nothing to give us, and they like the idea that we all think that they know. It, you know, gives them a bit of gravitas, a bit of an aura. If they're like, I can't tell you about the UFO disclosure, but it's huge. Like, yeah, okay, sure. Sure, buddy. Maybe they just don't know. Maybe they just have no idea. They're as lost as we are. They're just like, it's blinking lights in the sky. We don't know. Because the only thing that makes sense to me is either that's the case or the deep state is aliens. Like, it can be one of, it's got to be one of those two things. It's got to be one of those two things. So I'm imagining, yeah, maybe I'm just like too anthropomorphic with it, like I'm too human-centric about it. What the hell is this? Contact or something? You know, another thing people have, but you know, I'm just imagining like, all right, we've had kind of similar stuff to this in amongst humans, right? You'll have an uncontacted tribe that's never developed stone tools, but gets, you know, visited by a Cessna. And they make the cargo cults, right? They like think of the people in the airplanes like aliens, like technology they can't understand. They come from places they don't know exist. And this would be like if, you know, in the colonial era, the high technology of Europe was just used to like kind of visit uncontacted tribes and kind of let them see us, but then like run away. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Either go in and conquer it or you just ignore it. Like, what would be the motivation of the aliens? What are they doing? It's just, this is all so stupid. I don't know. This is all so stupid to me. But you know, another interesting thing that you'll find if you actually go out and look for it is that a lot of people who have studied UFOs have done so on a scientific basis. They want to approach it as a scientist and say, look, I'm not just going to discredit this or, disbelieve this just because it doesn't correspond with my pre-established understanding of the world. I'm going to study it scientifically. And so they'll go and they'll interview people who claim to have been taken up by the aliens or visited by aliens. And at a certain point in the questioning, there is almost always a moment, or like many, many times, there will be a moment where the person says, yeah, I was in this spaceship. They were probing me. They were these tall, gray-looking things. And I called out and I said, help me, Jesus. And then I woke up in my bed. And that happens like over and over. Now, if you're a atheist scientist trying to find out about extraterrestrial life, that's the type of thing you're going to want to leave out of your report. Because in your eyes, it discredits the whole report. In your eyes, the moment somebody brings up a supernatural Christian, you know, invocation of Jesus Christ, solving the aliens, you know, if you're an atheist scientist, you're sitting there going, so this is all a hallucination. It's all an illusion. This person didn't actually. And so to save the work that you did, you're going to go, well, I don't think that's actually that important to include in my report. I think I'll leave that to the side. And you'll find this. If you go research, people who investigate UFOs would often leave out that type of stuff. Some would include it. And what you find is that, like, a lot of these events end when somebody calls out the name Jesus Christ, which would hint that this is a spiritual or, you know, the beings are demonic in nature, not aliens, and yet that's covered up, not even necessarily out of maliciousness, just because it doesn't correspond with the presumptions of the people doing the investigation or the research. So that's another interesting, you know, it's like, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you probably should have spent at least some time investigating UFOs. I've spent plenty of times investigating UFOs. My conclusion is that we're not being visited by space aliens, that they are demonic entities of one sort or another. They do not abide by or obey the laws of physics as we know them because they aren't part of our world. They'll visit it. But yeah, they're interdimensional if that's what you want to picture it. But it's hard to get that across to somebody who, you know, that in and of itself. But if that was the case, why would they go around telling Christians this is going to challenge your worldview? That would actually confirm absolutely what we believe. But Burchett says the first drop will be big, but in comparison to what's coming, there will be a drop in the bucket. I would say the holy crap is still coming. The newly released memo is an internal FBI document dated October 19th, 1966 from the Bureau's San Fran office to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover under the subject line Unidentified Flying Objects. It references earlier FBI bulletins on flying discs that was created to circulate in an article titled Armed Forces Focus on UFO, published in the San Francisco Examiner and Chronicle. So again, I just don't know what to make of it because this isn't disclosure. It's just official acknowledgement of stories and claims and videos and photos that have been out forever. I guess there's some new videos and photos, but they're just as vague and ambiguous as anything else that's ever come out about it. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. Maybe the next tranche will be the bombshell, but this is what I mean. Why would you release it like this? You're going to release a bunch of nothing burgers and then the next one will be the real one. I guess if you're trying to like ease people into it, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense and I just am not buying it. So I'm sure they have, you know, mysterious events that they can't exactly explain. But great. We all do. You know, it's like, okay. Yeah, these are all the, some of the images that came across. So we'll actually move on from this. I will take your calls on it later. I'll probably play a video sort of giving you another overview at the, top of the next hour. But I got to remind you folks, you got to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you folks, I'm not kidding when I said that when we left the old studio, I just stopped taking the supplements for a couple days and I felt so much worse. I literally thought I was getting sick. I was like, I'm coming down with something. It's not good. I'm tired all the time. I feel fluish. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, I'm just not taking the supplements I used to take. I start taking them again. I feel amazing. I feel absolutely amazing. Yesterday, I felt like crap the whole day. I felt so bad. And I got in and like, how does that make sense? I come in, I do a 3-hour show talking the entire time and I feel more energized by the end of it. It doesn't make any sense except that I was taking the CMOS gummies. I was taking the supplements. I'm taking the power plant. It's like this stuff works. You actually feel it. And when you don't have it, you miss it. So find out what you're missing right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I say try the ultimate CMOS capsules or gummies, whatever you take. The stuff is just incredibly powerful. You will feel it. And right now we have incredible bundle offers that I'll tell you about a little bit later. But go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Keep us on the air. Have fun and enjoy, folks.
Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship. And I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer in 1984 is 1776, and if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
President Trump's presidential unsealing and reporting system for UAP encounters, or PURSUE, has dropped. The initial release clocks in at over 160 documents, heavily featuring FBI records with cryptic file designations alongside hints of defense, state, and NASA materials. Many are unresolved cases where the feds admit they can't explain the phenomena due to insufficient data, openly inviting private sector sleuths to dig right in.
And I think some of it's going to be very interesting to people. I've interviewed people, my first term primarily, but I interviewed some pilots, very solid people, and they said they saw things that you wouldn't believe. So
everything from historical files spanning nearly 80 years, including potential Apollo mission ties and raw eyewitness accounts that past administrations buried or dismissed.
And we have very, very many, it looks like hundreds of little particles flying by to the left out about 3 to 4 miles.
Understand you have many small particles going by on the left. At what distance?
They're past now. They're going to pull over.
Roger, and understand they were about 3 to 4 miles away.
But one can't help but wonder, why now? And why flood the zone with FBI heavy docs that leave more questions than answers? Pilots, military observers, and civilians have reported objects defying physics with instant acceleration, no visible propulsion, transmedium travel. This release feels like the veil may be cracking, but is it full disclosure or a carefully managed drip to test public reaction?
So you think they're demons?
Well, look, I think that celestial beings who fly around, who do weird things to people, I think that the desire to describe everything celestial, everything as otherworldly, to describe it as aliens, I mean, every great world religion, including Christianity, the one that I believe in, has understood that there are weird things out there, and there are things that are very difficult to explain. And I naturally go, when I hear about sort of extra natural phenomenon, that's where I go to, is the Christian understanding that, you know, there's a lot of good out there, but there's also some evil out there. And I think that one of the devil's great tricks is to convince people we never existed.
You have a lot of the far right religious people who don't understand the cosmology and the physics of interstellar travel, saying it. And it's a bunch of superstitious claptrap.
According to the men who were present, who have the information, they said to these pastors, you're going to have two responses more than likely when all this information is eventually released. Now, I don't know what the total information is. I know a little bit about what it's about, but apparently whatever this is very serious. And number one, you're going to have people who are going to say, if there are galaxies and there are allegedly other creations in the galaxies, then the whole creation story is a myth. And you're going to have people that's going to apostatize and turn from the Christian faith because they have no answer for what they're about to hear. Then they said the opposite will be, there will be a group of people who are not followers of Christ, are not followers of the Bible, and they're going to freak out, and they're going to come to pastors, ministers, and teachers and say, what is this? Is this really real?
This rollout echoes elements of Project Bluebeam, especially with its religious implications. Could it all just be a royal scam? Staged celestial events? Fake alien invasions or religious apparitions via advanced tech to usher in a one world order? While this UAP dump appears geared toward genuine openness under Trump, The timing and emphasis on unresolved anomalies could serve as psychological preparation, normalizing skybound mysteries in an era of rapid drone and projection breakthroughs.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Back, folks. I was gonna move on from the alien thing, although I think I just found the first one that actually is interesting to me. I just saw this from MJ Truth Ultra on X. Try to put this flat so we can dot cam it here. 1967 FBI secret file, 3-page Cobalt/Laser Ray mind control manifesto. Claims total body and thought control, 1945 UFO sightings, stage accidents since 1946, and business infiltration at every level. And that's what first struck me is, I tweet out, they have infiltrated at almost every business level. And I'm like, what? You're saying the aliens have infiltrated? What does that mean? So these four scanned pages constitute a single complete declassified secret FBI file dated January 30th, 1967. It's an official one-page cover memorandum from the FBI legal attaché in Mexico City to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, attaching the full three-page letter/telegram that W.R. Hanawalt originally sent on December 20th, 1966 to the Federal Security Police in Mexico. The FBI's only notation is that their file contains no other information on Hanawalt. The package was stamped secret, routed internally, including to the San Antonio office. We have infiltrated almost every business level. This exact line appears on page 2 of Hanawalt's letter, in the middle of the detailed description of the alleged capabilities of a secret laser ray or cobalt ray weapon. Thoughts used on the highway while driving were monitored by equipment carried in trucks, rental trailers, autos, etc. Much of the equipment is from out of state, particularly California, used in the valley by non-tourists who are here for reasons extending over 30 days and who do not pay for Texas plates. They have infiltrated almost every business level. Any man in business cannot realize the reason so many company secrets or confidences are lost. A business competitor can eventually bankrupt any or all of his competition. How can a defense attorney present a defense when his strategy is known to the opposing attorney previously? So in other words, they're saying that he had a mind-reading ray. They, equal the secret operators, whom he later identified as rotten apples inside federal agencies, especially the CIA and space arms, and possibly members of Congress, who control ray technology. He claims the ray allows real-time thought monitoring, especially while people are at their desks or driving, remote manipulation of any machine, and total sensory, emotional, and sexual control. This infiltration, he says, lets them steal trade secrets, sabotage competitors, cause business failures, and even rig legal cases, all without the victims realizing how their confidential information is being leaked. The ray acts like a self-enclosed cocoon around a silkworm, wrapping the entire body and nervous system to manipulate physical control, senses, sight, smell, taste, touch, hearing, emotion, lie detector results, breathing, heartbeat, and even create hyper-realistic visions of flying objects. Hanawalt personally saw unidentified flying objects, saucers, during combat missions in 1945 that were, quote, not the enemy. Most of his own car accidents since 1946 were deliberately staged because he, quote, learned too much in the Navy while at war. The technology had been used secretly in Harlingen, Texas for 8 years by a small group. It's now obsolete and has been replaced by satellites. I normally wouldn't think much about this, but the FBI treated it with so much care that it ended up being classified as top secret, or as secret at least. And there's the actual letter being sent. A laser cobalt ray that can read your mind and manipulate any machine or damage any machine. That I find extremely interesting. Lauren Boebert has come out and talked about this being a spiritual situation. But I think we'll move on. I think we will. We'll take your calls on this in the third hour. But I think we need to move on now because we've got war. We've got war to talk about. It's all very confusing. As of 19 hours ago, we have a video of Jesse Waters talking about the exchange of bombs in Iran. I don't know if we need to go to that, but it is interesting that it's just so topsy-turvy. It's like you literally cannot ignore the news for 12 hours and still have a handle on what the hell is going on in Iran. It changes so rapidly and with so little reason or logic behind it, it's really hard to get a grip on. So, you know, as of last night, you had this from Jesse Waters. Breaking, U.S. just bombed Iran. The Strait of Hormuz erupts. Iran just swarmed U.S. destroyers and started shooting. America fired back hard. Strike sites obliterated. Not a single ship hit. They dropped ever so beautifully down to the ocean, very much like a butterfly dropping to its grave. That's Donald Trump. Bring a little poetry to the announcement. Trump says, quote, Iran is not a normal country. I would show you the Jesse Waters thing, but it's so, there's something so despicable about it when he's like, Donald Trump talked to the gay Ayatollah in his little cave. Kind of hard to speak without lips. And it's just like, ugh, just what? It just doesn't hit the same to me. You know, it's different if you're like, you know, hunting Osama bin Laden and you think he took the Twin Towers out and you're like, yeah, dirtbag, you think you can mess with America? Not anymore. But here's a dude that like, we killed his entire family and viciously maimed him. And we're just like, yeah, kind of hard to talk without a face, huh? It's like, good Lord, you evil scum. I mean, how are you supposed to be the good guy when you're saying stuff like that? It's just revolting is what it is. I don't get it. Like, I don't know. I get we're fighting a war with them, but like, We're definitely the bad guys, though. But we're definitely the bad guys. Like, that's the thing. You show that to any Iranian, and they'd be like, yeah, of course. They're all demons. All the Americans. They all are just awful. And it's like, Jesse Waters doesn't speak for us. And I don't even know. I don't know, man. It's very un-American, un-European to even have that level of just like, you're celebrating that the man has no face. Okay. Cool. Anyway, so 19 hours ago, Jesse Waters is like, yeah, we're winning again. We already won the war, but we thought we'd go back to win the war a second time, okay? It's because we already won. We already have total victory. They're already totally destroyed. They did fire some missiles at us, and so we hit them hard. Now they're falling like butterflies. Fast forward 12 hours, Donald Trump says, I'm pleased to announce that there will be a 3-day ceasefire. I thought we were in a ceasefire. What? Well, are we still in a ceasefire? Maybe. I don't know. May 9th, 10th, and 11th in the war between Russia. Oh, between Russia and Ukraine. Oh, okay. All right, good. Okay, it's coming together. It's all coming together. Now, this could be a 3-day ceasefire. It could also be the start of a much, 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 much more dangerous conflict. Because Russia has basically unilaterally declared a ceasefire, which is kind of a ballsy move. See, they declared a 3-day ceasefire, May 9th, 10th, and 11th, for celebration of Victory Day in Russia. However, you know, they're going to hold like a giant military parade. And they've basically said, we're declaring a ceasefire. They're saying, we hope Ukraine also honors this ceasefire. We hope they don't bomb our big military parade. And if they do, basically we're going to nuke Kiev. I mean, they didn't say it as much, but that's basically the message. It's like, you're going to let us have this parade or we're going to take it to the next level from which there is no return. And so I guess we can all rest easy knowing that the fate of humanity is in the hands of Vladimir Zelensky, who, by the way, is under the gun on his own accord for the hundreds of millions of dollars stolen by his government that he apparently has tried to blame other people on, who have then subsequently fled to Israel and started giving interviews saying actually it was Zelensky that was the corrupt one. So this may get really, really, really bad really fast. So Donald Trump says, I'm pleased to announce there is a 3-day ceasefire May 9th, 10th, and 11th in the war between Russia and Ukraine. The celebration in Russia is for Victory Day, but likewise in Ukraine because they are also a big part and factor of World War II. The ceasefire will include a suspension of all kinetic activity and also a prisoner swap of 1,000 prisoners from each country. This request was made directly by me, and I very much appreciate its agreement by President Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky. Hopefully it is the beginning of the end of a long, deadly, hard-fought war. Talks are continuing on ending this major conflict, the biggest since World War II, and we are getting closer and closer every day. Thank you for your attention in this matter, President Donald J. Trump. How are you still a Trump supporter? I don't know. And I wonder, I'm like, am I seeing Trump differently now, or is he acting different? I honestly don't know. Because I want to see him in the Ukraine war, but he has done nothing to end the Ukraine war at all. He's had opportunity after opportunity to end the Ukraine war, and he hasn't taken them. Remember the big meeting in Alaska where Putin basically offered him everything? I mean, if you're watching the Victor Boot interview with Alex, you know all of this, but like at this point, it's like, okay, I'm glad he's trying to end the Ukraine war, but he's like trying to take credit for this, I guess. I don't know. I guess the 1,000 prisoner swap he can take credit for if that was his suggestion. But it's just kind of pathetic because he's the president of the United States. The United States is the one that is funding and powering, the entire Ukraine military resistance. If he wants an end to the Ukraine war, he can bring about an end to the Ukraine war. Instead, you have Russia declaring a 3-day ceasefire and basically Trump coming along and going, yeah, totally, this was me. And hopefully this is the beginning of the end. Hopefully we can finally wind this thing down. It's like, okay, thanks, Putin. You didn't do it. Putin did. Putin declared the ceasefire. So I don't know. You know, it's like, I want to like Trump, but he's not doing anything to stop the Ukraine war. And then he comes along and tries to take credit for Putin instituting a ceasefire. It's just pathetic. Zelensky also issued a tongue-in-cheek decree allowing Russia's May 9th military parade to proceed and saying Ukrainian weapons would not target Red Square. Why? How is that tongue-in-cheek? Because he is going to do that? Probably. Why not? So I don't know, man. It's like, It's gone from just like inexplicable to genuinely insane, Trump's behavior. Inexplicable was, why is he defending Epstein? Why is he not releasing the Epstein files? Why is he flipping out about the Epstein files? Inexplicable is, why did he think the 12-day war against Iran would help? Yeah, Putin unilaterally declared a 2-day ceasefire on Friday, Saturday to cover the Victory Day commemorations, Russia's most revered national holiday. Kiev responded that a ceasefire just for the holiday was inappropriate and said called for an indefinite truce to begin 2 days earlier, which Moscow ignored. Yeah. So I'd love to see Trump in the Iran war. I'd love to see him in the Ukraine war. I'd love to see him maybe actually release what they know about aliens, punish the Epstein class, stop being surrounded and controlled by them, but it's just not happening. So I really have trouble celebrating anything until he does anything. But I guess we're declaring victory yet again in Iran. U.S. conducts new Iran strikes along Hormuz corridor. Trump says warships came under fire by lunatics. Yeah, they're the lunatics, Trump, for sure. They're the crazy ones defending their homeland. U.S. military attacks Iran locations on southern coast. Allegations of UAE involvement. Explosions rock Abu Dhabi. CENTCOM says intercepted Iranian counterattacks. Iran says the U.S. violated the ceasefire after CENTCOM targeted Iranian facilities responsible for attacks. U.S. says ceasefire not violated despite striking Iran oil tanker and targets in Bandar Abbas and Qasem. The Trump administration mulls restarting operation to guide ships through the Strait of Hormuz with naval and air support as early as this week after Saudi Arabia and Kuwait lifted restrictions on U.S. access to their bases and airspace. Iranian National Security Admission, red line, is no uranium has left the country, the right to enrich uranium, the complete lifting of sanctions, and the release of the country's assets are non-negotiable red line. So once again, I mean, this entire time, it's just crazy. There was never a moment of this war where we were winning. Do you realize that? There was never a moment. From the instant Trump started striking Iran, Iran responded in kind, destroyed all of our radar bases, destroyed all of our bases overall. They were already in negotiations with us. They were willing to give us a better deal than under the JCPOA. They were willing to have inspectors. They were willing to negotiate on enrichment to a certain level. It was the implacability and unwillingness of the Trump administration negotiation team, i.e., that is Israel, to allow any uranium enrichment whatsoever. This again is what Joe Kent, you know, repeatedly talks about and informs anybody who's listening about how this change happened, how it went from you can't have weapons to you can't enrich uranium at all, which was an obvious, impossible ask. But I mean, even beyond that, again, we've covered this every step of the way, and every step of the way, we've been like the only ones describing this, how it's like they start negotiations with Iran on the basis of we want to get rid of your nuclear weapons program. And then once they're in negotiations, they say, actually, we want you to get rid of all of your ballistic missiles. And Iran goes, well, just no, that's never going to happen. And they go, ah, we tried to negotiate with Iran. They're insane. They're lunatics. We just keep changing what our demands are to deliberately make the demands impossible to meet. So then we can say, oh, we tried, but they wouldn't meet our demands. And ever since the first bomb dropped on Iran and Iran sent the first drone back, they have been in command of this situation. They have been the ones dictating when we negotiate and when we don't, when the ceasefires happen and when they aren't, when the Strait of Hormuz is open, when it's not. They've been in control. And still to this day, they're going, look, here's our red lines. Here's what you have to come to the table with. Otherwise, the fighting continues. The Strait remains shut down and you keep collapsing in the polls, Trump. So, and the only reason we wouldn't accept those conditions is if we, like Joe Kent said, are obeying Israel and demanding impossible to achieve goals like no uranium enrichment at all, which is not impossible, but it's like, why would they agree to that? They don't have to. And it was never the point, never supposed to be the point of why we were going in the first place. Even though the ostensible reason we were going in the first place has been thoroughly and repeatedly discredited by the people actually involved. And the latest from Fox News is just further confirmation of everything else that we've been telling you the whole time. U.S. intel community agreed before the war that Iran was not developing a nuclear weapon. This according to Joe Kent, which honestly, it's kind of surprising seeing Joe Kent being quoted uncritically in Fox News, but good. He should be. He should be running for president. Joe Kent declared the narrative and agenda spun by a foreign government, Israel, won the argument and forced us into this war. You know, it really is like, I really am like a PTSD, like abused dog, right? It's like, oh, look, Fox News is uncritically quoting Joe Kent, telling the truth about the Iran war and blaming it on Israel. What are they up to? What is this really? I know Fox News didn't just quote Joe Kent and blame it on Israel by accident. I know they didn't do it because they've suddenly been bitten by the honesty bug, right? I don't believe that for a second. So every time we get something good like this, I got to look at it askance. I got to give it the side eye and go, what are you really doing? Why are you telling me why are you of all people telling me the truth about this, because I know the truth. I don't need you to tell me it. In fact, I'm constantly, continuously at odds with Fox News because they won't tell the truth. But here they are actually telling the truth. Why, though? But why? What are you up to exactly? It's like when your kids are too quiet. Like, oh, my kids are really well behaved. They're never that well behaved. What are they doing? What are they up to? As they're, hey, oh, Fox News is telling the truth. What? Former National Counterterrorism Center Director Joe Kent asserted in a post on X that prior to the start of the Iran war, the U.S. intelligence community agreed that the Islamic Republic was not developing a nuclear weapon. One of many tragedies of this war is that before the war began, the U.S. intelligence community, including the CIA, was in agreement that Iran was not developing a nuclear weapon and that Iran would target U.S. bases in the region and shut down the Strait of Hormuz if they were attacked by Israel and the U.S., Kent wrote in a post on Thursday. The IC also properly assessed that targeting the Iranian leadership would strengthen the regime and embolden the hardliners. Despite the professionalism and accuracy of the IC, the narrative agenda spun by a foreign government, Israel, won the argument and forced us into this war, he continued. The narrative and agenda spun by a foreign government, Israel, won the argument and forced us into this war. Won the argument. I guess you can have an argument over factual things, but this isn't really a matter of argumentation. It's a matter of fact. If you're saying that Israel won the argument, what you mean is that Israel's lies were convincing. They didn't win the argument. They were the ones promoting the falsehoods. So you're saying the falsehoods won at the end of the day, which is accurate. I'm not criticizing Joe Kent here, but I just, from my perspective, it's weird to say, like, the Israelis won the argument. Well, there was no argument. The fact was that we all knew, and we know because Tulsi Gabbard had said it, and IC had said it, and Iran had said it, and everybody except for Israel acknowledged that they weren't making a weapon and that they were going to hit our bases and all the things that Joe Kent just said. So, you know, we knew all of this. And so did Israel. So Israel lied about it. They presented falsified evidence to convince Trump that Iran was doing something it wasn't doing to get him to go to war with Iran. So again, the term won the argument is not the right term. Israel's ridiculous lies were believed by Trump, or at least he pretended to believe their lies and go along with them, probably because they have blackmail on him of some sort. We need to understand exactly how this happened to ensure we're never put in this position again, he concluded. White House spokesperson Davis Engel said the following in a statement to Fox News Digital. Joe Kent's self-aggrandizing resignation letter and recent comments are riddled with lies. Most egregious are Kent's false claims that the largest state sponsor of terrorism somehow did not pose a threat to the United States and that Israel forced the president into launching Operation Epic Fury. Very convincing argument, sir. What are you talking about? It's insulting, is it not? Is it not insulting that they lie to your face like this? Are you not feeling disrespected that they sit here and go, yeah, Israel didn't force us into this? That's ridiculous. And the leading state sponsor of terror, which is all just meaningless wordplay for definitions they decide on, you know, applying to whatever they want it to apply to at that moment. The leading state sponsor of terror not posing a threat to the United States. No, he said they weren't trying to build a nuclear weapon, which is what this entire thing is predicated on. The entire Iran war is only happening, according to Trump, because they can't get a nuclear weapon. But they weren't even trying.
I am so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 trifecta iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so. Most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat, then you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, for even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot.
Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, ladies, gentlemen, little green men. Welcome back, all of you, interdimensional demons, suckers and fools. Welcome to you all. So crazy. All right. Yeah, maybe this is the jolt in the arm the Trump campaign needed. He's going to go out. He's going to be going out on stage doing his dance. Next to him is a little alien doing the dance, too. That'd be pretty cool. You could bring an alien out on stage, riff with him for a little while. That'd be entertaining. Ridiculous. All right, let's get to the real things that actually matter, shall we? I'll wait for the next big file dump before I actually pay attention to anything about the aliens, because so far, nothing to sink your teeth into, folks. But I don't know, maybe Maybe there's more than we know. But I want to talk about this story from Compact Magazine. I don't even know how I'm going to get through this because Marco Rubio has been assigned as Marvin the Martian. It's pretty good. I like it. All right. Well, let's get serious because Compact Magazine's come out with some pretty good articles about discrimination against white men recently. The latest, the last one was a really, you know, powerful and it spread very widely. And basically what it described was the way in which the discrimination against white men in particular, Christian white American men, was sort of facilitated and only allowed to happen because the white men who'd already established themselves felt like they could earn some good boy points by going along with it and basically pulled up the ladder behind them, right? They climbed the ladder to success, and once they're up there, they see a bunch of white guys just like them falling behind, and they pull that ladder up and go put it down by the less qualified non-white male people. And, you know, it makes them feel good. Of course, they're forced to do this by ESG and BlackRock anyway, but there wasn't a lot of pushback. But that was sort of the theme of the first major Compact article about this, Compact Magazine article about this. And it was extremely informative and, you know, broke down some of the numbers of just how discriminated against white men have been in the recent past. And I can't help but, like, now I'm the more you think about this and the more you realize just how widespread it was and just how, like, devastating this can be to people and how, you know, how does somebody, I don't know, just even continue to living and succeeding when, like, you've gone to school, you're a good student, you are successful, creative, and driven, and you just cannot get a job, and you're working service jobs until your late 30s. It's so brutal what's been done, all in the name of equity and diversity, bullcrap from foreigners and infiltrators who are just discriminating against white people, which the whole, like, I don't understand how they're getting away with this. I really don't understand how they've gotten away with it this long and how they continue to get away with it, except that white people just do not stand up for ourselves and just allow ourselves to be taken advantage of. It's genuinely insane. It would be different, albeit, I don't know, a different gradient, a different, maybe on the same spectrum, but on a different place in the spectrum. But, you know, if a bunch of white guys were actually put in their positions because they were white guys, like if we actually lived in the world that the liberals want us to live in, think that we live in, the white supremacist world where a bunch of mediocre white guys are just gifted amazing jobs because they're white guys, like, okay, if we actually lived in that world, and then the, you know, there was an actual anti-discrimination law that came into effect where the white guys were no longer getting picked just because they're white guys. And so therefore white guys were being replaced by non-white guys. But because those non-white guys were the better candidates, do you understand what I mean? That this isn't, it's not like this was ever a fight against discrimination. Discrimination was legally eliminated decades ago, functionally eliminated decades ago. Certainly gone inverted in certain cases. I mean, at this point, practically everything, right? You look at who's graduating college, girls over boys, who's succeeding in this. It's like white men are just, you know, last in a lot of it. But again, not because they're not qualified, as we'll learn in this next story from the Compact Magazine, but because they're white guys. So it's like, this is just pure discrimination. We had at least something, you know, reaching towards meritocracy maybe 20 years ago. Mid-2000s, sure, it was diverse, but not totally unnaturally so. And then they just came in and said, you know what? Let's discriminate against white guys. Just openly, blatantly, flagrantly violating the law. And they just get away with it, and nobody holds them to account. Now, interestingly, I did have a story yesterday. I don't think I have it with me today. But I think it was a New York Times article. And it was basically saying that it was a account from lawyers that handle discrimination lawsuits. And they're like, we love when white guys come in to file a discrimination lawsuit, because with any other group, you have to go in and try to determine discrimination through comparing similar applicants and, you know, a bunch of data that you have to correlate and go, all right, well, it looks like this person would have been chosen normally, but they're black, so maybe there's some discrimination there. But it's vague and it's particular, and you have to actually find sort of you have to sort of assume things and then, you know, find things that fit into that assumption. When a white guy comes in, they go, we get discovery, we hit control F, white guy. And it just, because they were open about it. Because you get emails from executives going, don't hire him, he's a white man. Hire less white people. Great pool of candidates, but I see too many white people there. Eliminate some of them. So it's like, the discrimination is so overwhelming, so blatant, so obvious that like civil rights lawyers are like, yeah, bring us the white guy cases. We can win them with our eyes closed. Because the people doing it celebrated the fact they were doing it. They go on TV and brag about doing it. So the only reason they're allowed to do it is because white guys just go, oh, okay, I got discriminated against. Darn it. It's like, what? And that's the thing. It's because white people have absorbed this. They like think that we deserve to be discriminated against. We don't, folks. Nobody does, but white people especially don't. So now there's this new article from Compact Magazine that focuses on the medical industry, which I would say is extremely important. And again, you have to understand, they are injecting diversity and ESG into life and death situations. Air traffic controllers, medicine, the legal profession. If this continues, it's extremely dangerous, folks. Like, it, you know, the number one cause of death in the country, I'm pretty sure, is doctor malfeasance, right? Maybe it's like second under heart disease or something like that, but so many people die every single year because of incompetence of doctors, because they get something wrong. Because they just mess up because they're tired and overworked or whatever it is. It's a major, major cause of death in this country. And we seem to be doing everything we can to increase that number exponentially. So the article from Compact Magazine is called Medicine Without Merit by Forrest Bowler. And again, I don't know how I'm going to get through this because it's a long article, but honestly, I want to read the entire thing verbatim and comment on all of it because it's all that powerful and important. But at least in the beginning, he says, when I applied to medical school in the midst of the pandemic in the wake of the death of George Floyd, I had reason to think I was a competitive applicant, particularly for my state's public medical school, which favors in-state candidates with strong academic records. And I didn't assume I was entitled to admission, but I thought I would get in somewhere. I didn't. So I did what failed applicants are told to do. I sought feedback. Eventually, I spoke with an admission officer at one of the schools that rejected me. He told me I was extremely qualified and had everything the school looked for in an applicant. He couldn't give me a concrete reason why I wasn't accepted other than that I didn't fit the demographic the school was prioritizing. And other applicants were viewed as having traveled a longer distance to medicine. My application, he said, was evaluated through that lens. And again, this is something that now we've seen the videos. There's been undercover videos. There's been investigations. There's been open admissions. And like, again, they aren't even shy about it. The left has been able to get away with whatever the hell they want for so long in this country. They do not even hide their blatant conspiracy to deprive you of rights or commit discrimination on an industrial scale. They're open about it. They brag about doing this. They act like it's a good thing. BlackRock publishes the ESG requirements that demand you fire white guys. Like, they just do this and nobody stops them from doing it. It's infuriating. But the assumption baked in here, like, I don't know anything about this guy. I don't know anything, you know, but one of the things they would do is they'd go, well, we're not allowed to discriminate by race anymore, but we can ask for biographical information and judge them on that. This idea that somehow being from a wealthy family means that you shouldn't be given less of a chance to become a doctor. What? It's a complete inversion. To like ask anybody from more than 30 years ago, it's like, hey, if your parents are a doctor, if your parents are both doctors, would you likely make a good doctor? Everybody'd be like, yeah, probably. There are certain things that make you a good doctor. There's certain characteristics about a human being that makes them a good doctor. And when two people have those and are successful in that path and have a kid, that kid's probably inherited the very characteristics one would need to become a good doctor. If anything, that should give them a higher priority because you want the best doctors, don't you? Don't we? Apparently not. Apparently we want doctors like this. Insane surgeon dances and sings during surgery. And she like kills people regularly and like had to be fired. I can't remember how this story ended, but no, literally she's in surgery with patients cut open before her and she's twerking and dancing and like throwing things. It's crazy. It's crazy. So when they say like others have traveled a longer distance to medicine, who cares? Why would that matter? What? If anything, it'd be less sort of, I don't know. It doesn't seem like a good thing to me. Maybe it is, but like, why though? I'd rather have a doctor who grew up wealthy, whose parents were doctors and are in this world and understand it. I don't know. That's just me personally, but you'll see. You'll see. I got to get through this article. But this person says, you know, that conversation, okay, but what I was saying was that the traveled longer distance, and what they did was instead of saying we're going to discriminate against white guys, they said we're going to have biographical information, and for some reason they weighed it more if you are poor or a foreigner or like whatever, you know, hurdles you had to get over to get to medicine, that apparently matters in getting you into medicine, which it shouldn't. It frankly shouldn't, right? I don't know why it would. The conversation unsettled me, he says, in a way I didn't immediately recognize. I was being told I was qualified, capable, and deserving, but simultaneously, those qualities were not enough due to certain immutable characteristics. I had spent years learning about discrimination as something that could happen to other people. Nothing in my education had prepared me to think it could happen to people like me. Oh, well, here's a surprise. You're the only person it happens to. People like you are the only ones that get discriminated against these days in a negative way. Do you realize how inverted your education has been? They spent 18 years of your life hammering the idea that white people are privileged in a country where white people are exclusively discriminated against? Hello? Hello? We're run by evil scumbags who hate us. It's time to wake up already. Good Lord. Then it did. Then I was discriminated against. Well, you're discriminated against your whole life, actually. You just didn't know it. Perhaps I should have seen it coming. The requirements for admission into medical school are very markedly depending on who the applicant is. According to the data from the Association of Medical Colleges, the academic thresholds required for acceptance differ substantially between racial groups. The average MCAT score of a white applicant who is accepted into medical school is 512.4, approximately the 85th percentile nationally. By contrast, the average MCAT score for accepted American Indian applicants is 502.2, 56th percentile. For accepted black applicants is 505.7, 67th percentile. And for accepted Hispanic applicants, 506.4, 69th percentile. The disparities are even more profound when we look at the applicant pool as a whole. White applicants overall, including those who are rejected, have an average MCAT score of 507.8, roughly the 73rd percentile. In other words, accepted black, Hispanic, and American Indian medical students matriculate with lower MCAT scores on average than white applicants who have not yet been accepted to medical school. The same pattern appears when we turn to undergraduate GPA. White applicants apply with an average GPA of 3.7, but require an average GPA of 3.8 to gain admission, while accepted black, Hispanic, and American Indian applicants matriculate with average GPAs of 3.59, 3.66, and 3.64, respectively. So it's just not a debate. These are the stats. What we're learning is that if you are white, they will keep you out of medical school, even if you're more qualified than black, Hispanic, or American Indian applicants. This is obvious. We all know this, but really think about what that means. Really think about the downstream effects of that. Really think about who you would want watching after you as a doctor. Now, again, this is always negative for everybody. And this is that quote from Charlie Kirk that everybody completely deliberately misinterpreted and took out of context. But the idea that he was expressing with his opposition to DEI and walking on a plane and seeing a black woman pilot is you're sitting there thinking, did she qualify for this? Or is this DEI? Is she just as good as her white pilot next to her? Or did she get a leg up that he didn't get? And if she was a white man, maybe she wouldn't be capable of flying a plane, but because she's a black woman, she's being given this ability. That's a perfectly reasonable concern to have. And ironically, all this means for me is that in the future, I'm going to try to find a white doctor, because then I know they've actually done the work and actually deserve to be a doctor. Well, why would I trust a doctor that got into medical school even though they didn't deserve it? Is this going to help? I mean, I guess it's going to help black and Hispanic people be doctors, but will anyone want to go to them? Or will they have to start covering up the death rates and stuff? I don't know. Cannot imagine how this would be good for absolutely anybody. And it really, it just goes to the heart of the whole problem with equality as a concept. The whole thing is ridiculous. And again, it's just infuriating that the brain wiping mind control has led people to not understand just the most basic and fundamental reality about how things operate. Just obviously, if you're pushing for equality, shouldn't you be pushing to rise up the lower, not bring down the higher? Like, is this not obvious? The goal, if you look around at medical schools and you go, gee, there's a lot of white people here, your goal, obviously, and I should not have to explain this, your goal should be to better educate, better prepare, perhaps provide more resources for the exceptional black and Hispanic students to get them up to par with the white students. The only other option you have, which are apparently the ones they're taking, is denigrate white people, denigrate white students to where they're at an equal level with non-white students, or just let the non-white students in anyway, because, you know, why should they have to qualify? They're not white. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And it's just the fundamental poison pill in the concept of equality as understood and utilized these days. So he says he had a phone call. I end this phone call with a realization. If I wanted to succeed in medicine, I couldn't leave room for doubt. So I pursued an NIH research fellowship, received research training, published scientific papers, and obtained letters of recommendation from prominent virologists. When I reapplied, I was accepted to multiple medical schools and received significant scholarships offers to many of them. Once again, my state's flagship institution rejected me. I don't know precisely why, but patterns are hard to ignore. The other thing to do would just be call yourself American Indian on your application. So you could just do that. You could, you know, go through the extra work of getting an NIH scholarship and applying to all, doing all this extra work, or you could just lie about your ethnicity and cut the line. That's probably what you should do, because this whole system is fake and fraudulent and gay. So F it. Screw it. Take advantage wherever you can. Right? Why not? That's the world we're creating, right? You don't have to get the best scores. You just have to scam your way in. So scam your way in. Why not? Why not? It's the world we're creating. Everybody's taking shortcuts. Everybody's screwing each other over. Everybody's getting things they don't deserve and feeling justified in it. So do what you got to do, kid. And it just goes on and on. But there's this important part here that I think is really important to understand, okay? He says, no matter how successful I was, I experienced an inescapable cognitive dissonance. I was expected to participate enthusiastically in frameworks that portrayed my demographic as morally suspect, to internalize narratives in which my achievements were implicitly discounted, and to affirm values that excluded me by design. After a mass shooting, a preceptor launched into a tirade about how white men were a danger to society. On an audition, this is in medical school, these are doctors. These are people who will be looking after your life and death, and they literally hate white people. Is this not an issue? I mean, hell, they already had it. I broke the story where they were withholding medicine from white people in particular. My sister was in medical school at the time that January 6th happened, and she had people in her class going, well, how are we supposed to treat domestic terrorists? Like, what if we were in Washington, D.C. and some of the January 6th terrorists came into our hospital? Are we required to treat them? That's how they're thinking about you. They're sitting there going, not I will submerge my own proclivities in the professional guise of a doctor. And even though I might have personal feelings, when I'm wearing that white coat, I am medicine manifest. I'm an avatar for the Hippocratic Oath. You think that's going to happen? No, these people are going to go, I have the power of life and death now. Now we'll see who suffers. Now we'll see who pays the price. That's how these people are going to think. That's how these are your doctors, okay? On an audition rotation in the immediate aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination, I watched resident physicians share footage of him bleeding after being shot in the neck, presenting it as a surprise for those who had not yet seen it. We got a surprise for you. You want to see it? It's a gruesome video of a father of two being murdered in front of a crowd. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that so cool? I'm a doctor. I save people's lives, but I do get a tingly feeling when I see an innocent man slaughtered right in front of me. Yeah, we gotta do something, folks. We gotta do something here. I think it may have been, it was like Curtis Yarvin or somebody, like, tell me you can read this and, like, how do we get out of this without, like, authoritarianism? I don't know. Because it's everybody. I mean, it's so ubiquitous now. These people were not whispering. He's not saying, like, I overheard people whispering and giggling in the hallway. These people are just out, just like, in the hospital, in the university, going, guys, Charlie Kirk got shot in the neck and died. Isn't that cool? And everybody else is like, yeah, cool. Or they're like this little pansy who's too scared to say anything. And this is my point of all of this. So he says, one person joked about hoping the physician attempting to save Kirk would be a pregnant female surgeon of color about to get an abortion. These people are retarded. The following day in the operating room with an attending surgeon and a resident, I watched as the resident described Kirk as a misogynistic, fascist, white nationalist pig who had gotten exactly what he advocated for to our attending without rebuke. He got exactly what he advocated for. He was a white nationalist pig. Charlie Kirk, Christian, total normie. Like, what are you talking about? So my response to this is, white guys, you got to grow a spine. You got to stand up for yourself. This is not acceptable and you should not accept it. Demand an apology. And if you don't get one, immediately escalate it. And I have people going, oh, that's easy to say. You don't want to lose your profession. You're going to stand up for this and lose your job and have no resources to fight into the future. And it's like, do y'all not understand how we got to this situation in the first place? It's called imposition of moral superiority. When somebody else openly advocates murder, they're the bad guys. And here's what you say. I'll give you the script. You say, I don't feel safe in this environment. I demand to know what you, the institution, are going to do to correct this. Okay? Write that down, people.
We've been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm. And right about the open borders and right about the wars and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all of you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. But the sister site of the owner of the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, is realalexjones.com. And they hold back 10% of the knives and the coins and the t-shirts that are limited edition there. A lot of the stuff that you'll find that's sold out at thealexjonesstore.com is available at realalexjones.com, like the modern, updated World War II trench knife with the blacked out, murdered out brass knuckles, the skull crusher, 10-inch double-edged dagger, 5 different limited edition laser engraved designs. They're all about to sell out, only a few hundred left at realalexjones.com. So take advantage of that. Support us. The ultramethylene blue, the bovine colostrum, the Shilajit, all the very best supplements you're going to find are at realalexjones.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. But whatever you do, Become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it, and you can cancel anytime. There's no commitment, just in your profile. You pay $30 a month, you get $40 to spend instantly, and the special deals, special deals, special offers, cancel anytime. Stand with us. We've got so much more work to do. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, put her on. Let's get this illegal alien.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of War Room Live is on. AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link. Share that address as a new home of the Alex Jones operation, formerly known as InfoWars. I want to go now to Thomas Massey. There were a bunch of bombshell clips out of Thomas Massey's interview with Tucker Carlson. Here's a very important one. Let's watch.
I had concerns at the beginning of January when the U.S. government overthrew Maduro and arrested him and his wife and brought them to New York. I predict he will not testify in open court because that would not be good for the U.S. government if he did that. But whatever, that happened. And then there was this scramble to get rich off the oil assets of Venezuela. And I noticed that one of the people who's funding the campaign against you now, Paul Singer, one of the richest people in the world already, always eager to get richer for some reason, was involved in a Venezuela-related business deal shortly before that in that exercise. Am I misremembering this?
No, this is the one exception. This is why I have to say 95% of the money motivated against me is because of Israel. There, I've got to reserve 5% for Paul Singer in Venezuela. He's known for buying troubled assets, distressed assets, and then a lot of times destroying the company or leveraging the company to get things or the country.
Yes.
He's
Argentina.
a big player in this. And it should not be lost on the voters in Kentucky that this billionaire bought Citgo, which was the formerly nationalized oil company of Venezuela, for pennies on the dollar, and completed that transaction just a few weeks before we invaded Venezuela. And the, you know, it was such a good deal to get this company because it looks like, well, under the current regime and the current rules and the current deals that Citgo has, that this stock is appropriately pennies on the dollar, but it goes from pennies on the dollar to dimes on the dollar, and somebody can triple, quadruple, or get 10 times their money for that distressed asset that they bought at a bargain basement price if the political forces change and then the U.S. government, in fact, the U.S. military gets involved in making sure that Citgo's assets are safe and can be producing oil and refining it into gasoline. So if you can ask an AI, this is one of the cool things about AI, right? Like if you're sitting at home watching this, ask how much money did Paul Singer stand to make by the U.S. invasion of Venezuela? And it will tell you he stands to make, at least when I queried it, he stands to make more than anybody else on the overthrow of Maduro, and that it could be in the billions of dollars. And this is the guy who's paying for the ad that says I'm having a thruple with AOC and Ilhan Omar and running the AI of it in Kentucky so that the older people who still think that AI is artificial insemination for their cattle are going to wonder how that was created with artificial insemination. And that's like from start to finish, that's the corruption. There it is. And they're going to try to buy the seat. And if they get away with it, it's like this is a referendum. I don't think you're going to vote your way out of this. If I lose, I think it's bleak.
Well, yeah, because it means that people with business before the government can use part of their proceeds to crush anyone who questions the deals that they're benefiting from.
Correct. And it's happening.
My concern is that, this is an even bigger concern with what's happened in the current administration. If the lesson is that no matter who you vote for, things stay the same or get worse, then there's no pressure relief valve for the society and people get radical.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to the alexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
If everything's ready here on the dark side of the moon, play the five tones.
Six quavers, then pause.
She sent us four quavers, a group of five quavers, a group of four semi-quavers.
Yeah, folks, this is a live view outside the White House right now. Incredible disclosure here. It's just, it's all happening. It's just like we thought it would be. Wouldn't that be funny if that was, if the plot of Steven Spielberg's new movie, the Disclosure Day movie, it was all just like what happened today? It's like Steven Spielberg presents Disclosure Day. And it's just like a couple old videos of Tic Tacs. They're like, what? Could be. We don't know. We just don't know. Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. AlexJonesLive.com. Of course, you support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. You got to go to TheAlexJonesStore.com to get your methylene blue, get your CMOS gummies. We have these awesome bundles now where you can get different products that all cover different things but work synergistically together. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and of course are on massive discount, and you support us and keep us on the air, and we really do need your help right now. This is a transition phase. We are currently in our cocoon, soon to emerge as a beautiful and deadly butterfly. But until then, we got to get the energy, we got to get the resources we need to launch into the next stage of our intergalactic mission. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. We really do make it easy for you to support us. We have some, I don't know if I saw some hats and shirts downstairs that are very cool. I don't know if they're available yet or if we got some preview stuff, but there are some very, very cool pieces of merchandise sitting downstairs right now that I would, oh, look, we're in cocoons. This is from Wars of the Info. Yeah, we're in our carapace. We're evolving. We're metamorphosizing like Pokemon. This is sort of our Charmander phase, right? We're in the middle phase here. We're about to become Charizard, but we haven't made that final step. We're still in that awkward middle phase, and we'll be busting out of it soon. But not without your help, and only with your help will we continue to succeed and challenge the globalists toe-to-toe. TheAlexJonesStore.com, that's how you support us. And that's where you go to get things like the incredible Ultimate CMOS gummies. Oh, I've got gummies here. I thought I only had the capsules. I actually prefer the gummies, but the capsules, maybe the capsules are stronger, but I just like, it's a little treat. Yeah, some of these things are so awesome. The Alex Jones Live merchandise is very cool. So tell you what, go to TheAlexJonesStore.com, get yourself an Alex Jones Live t-shirt, a hat, a hoodie, whatever you're getting, and take a picture of yourself wearing it. It's definitely out in public. Definitely at any sort of event, protest, political event. Take a picture of yourself wearing the Alex Jones Live gear. Tag me at Harrison H. Smith. Tag Alex at Real Alex Jones. Tag the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live. And we'll repost it and share it and show off how good you look in it. Turns out we're still open. The store lives on. That's awesome. And you're getting it for like, what, $12, $13 off right now? And just like always, I mean, if you've ever bought anything from Alex Jones, you know it's the highest quality. I still, to this day, I'm telling you folks, you want to see this? I'm pretty sure I'm wearing it today. I still wear. I bought this before I ever worked at InfoWars. It's the coolest shirt I own. It's the Give Me Liberty shirt with George Washington with the AR-15. I've had this shirt for like 15 years. It's still amazing, still bright. It's still super soft, totally... not ripped, not torn, no holes in it, no nothing. I wear it like at least once a week because it's the softest shirt I own. And I usually wear it as an undershirt under my suit. But it's also just probably one of the coolest shirts I own. I'm telling you, folks, we have the highest quality stuff ever. I literally bought this shirt before I worked here. I've worked here for 9 years. I've worn it at least once a week for the last 10 years. And it's still like amazing quality and the softest shirt I own. And everything from the AlexJonesStore.com is just as high quality and will last just as long. Now I got to put my tie clip on the lower half of my tie and at a 45 degree angle. Roger Stone, he taught me that. So now I'm teaching it to you. Tie clip goes 45 degree angle and it's got to be below the bottom half of your tie. Okay. Roger, I've learned things. I remember things from you and I appreciate it. People will notice. If you start wearing your tie clip appropriately, other people with the knowledge will recognize you as a man of substance and culture. TheAlexJonesStore.com, that's where you go to support us, and we do have very cool new shirts. Take a picture of yourself, tag me in it. I'm happy to reshare. There's two things I always reshare. Anybody posting any sort of Alex Jones merchandise or just, a lot of people have like a cupboard in their kitchen that's just nothing but supplements. I love retweeting that stuff. I love retweeting any clips out of our show, and I'm seeing more people do it, and I really appreciate it, and it's really easy. And, I mean, if you're good at it especially – I mean, hell, I literally edit things while I'm driving on my phone. I probably shouldn't, but like that's how easy it is to edit these days. You can get an app on your phone for free and be churning out edits that are awesome. Using AI to do it or using this sort of prefabricated templates, you can make things that are cool and stylish or funny and awesome. And whatever you do, just tweet it out, put your own name on it. Like we don't care. It's all free to air. It's all yours to do with what you will. And hell, if you do it well enough, you're going to start making money. I mean, if you start getting views and, are monetized on X, good for you, man. Use our content. Make a career out of it. We just want the information out there. We need the information to be supreme. So whatever you do, make sure to tag us, follow us, and share that content so we can share it as well. Now, I want to go to this video. Just dropped. Crew just brought it in. A former lieutenant and special ops, who was personal security for Bibi Netanyahu, was just caught in a sting operation with Chris Hansen for grooming and trying to meet a 15-year-old boy. Everyone in proximity to Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, well, a little editorial from Arthur Kwan Lee, but he simply notes that it turns out everybody near Benjamin Netanyahu turns out to be a vile demon, huh? What do you know? So here's the video. I haven't seen it yet, but this is Chris Hansen, classic of, To Catch a Predator fame, back to his old tricks in catching Benjamin Netanyahu's personal security guard. Let's watch.
We're involved in security for the Israeli president, Netanyahu. Did you meet the Israeli leader?
I'm sorry, I'm not answering any questions so I can speak to an attorney.
You sent photos of your penis? Erect? You told the boy you ruined your shorts, meaning you ejaculated while you were talking to him. You asked for explicit pictures of him. You say the age of consent in Maryland is 16. This boy is 15. You knew this was illegal. And you had multiple chances to not commit this crime, but you did anyway. Which makes me wonder how many times you've gotten away with it before. Do you have CSAM on your phone?
I'm sorry, I'm not answering any questions until I can speak to an attorney.
You talk about being busy in training. The boy says his parents will be out of town at a work conference. How long was your drive over here today from your home in Maryland?
I'm sorry, I'm not answering any questions until I speak to an attorney.
You talked about taking him out after getting to know him for cheesesteaks. And if it goes well, you say you'll meet the monster at the end of the happy trail. Just tell me what you meant by that.
I'm sorry, I'm not answering any questions so I can speak to an attorney.
You feel pretty good about yourself today, huh? Think you were outsmarting everyone? A month and a day you spent chatting with someone who told you they're 15. Not just a cop, but a lieutenant. You sent pictures of yourself in uniform. You sent pictures of yourself from your office at the Metro DC Police Department, lounging on your couch, grooming a child. What should happen to you, Lieutenant?
I'm sorry, sir. I'm not answering any questions so I can speak to an attorney.
I guess you won't.
Well, that was horrifying. That was disturbing beyond belief. Yeah, I would not be surprised if he fleeced Israel. That's a very common thing. It's often done, of course, it's done by Tom Alexandrovich when he was caught trying to meet an underage girl, the head of Israeli cybersecurity. And unless I'm crazy, I'm pretty sure another high-ranking, like, Israeli government official was just caught in another To Catch a Predator scheme. I don't know if the crew saw that, but it was a different video. It was a guy sitting at a park. I was just scrolling through my bookmarks trying to find it. But this is the thing. People, like, online, people will be like, you talk about Israel too much. You're like obsessed with it. Like, I don't know. I don't think I mentioned it very much even today. Have I? I mean, we mentioned the Iran war, obviously. You got to mention the Epstein files. Hard to avoid at, Israel when you're talking about that. It crops up a lot. And I don't think I talk about it any more or less than most other people, especially not the likes of Mark Levin or Laura Loomer or any of them. And I actually don't go out of my way to cover all the negative Israeli stuff, because that would be my entire show. And like literally today, I was scrolling through videos and I saw a video that it was like, you know, Israeli head of something, I don't know if the crew can find it, got caught by pedophile hunters trying to meet up with a boy. Maybe it was like the actual capture of this guy, but I don't think it was. I think it was a different guy. But like, I didn't include it because, you know, it's not totally newsworthy. Like, every government's going to have some bad apples and it's not really fair to. But then you got this guy on the same day. So we got two Israeli officials on the same day, I'm pretty sure. I'm going to try to find that other video if I can. Again, I regret it now. Now I'm regretting my lack of anti-Semitism. If I was really obsessed with trying to just show you everything that makes Israel look bad, I would have grabbed this video. But I'm just not that obsessed, so I didn't grab the video. And now I don't have it to show you, unfortunately. But if the crew can look for it, I'm pretty sure another Israeli. No, it wasn't about Palestinian children. The crew was just asking me if it was about raping Palestinian children. No, that's something else entirely. That's a whole different situation. No, it's a guy at a park. Anyway, I'll find it during the break probably and show it to you. But it was like today or yesterday. And yeah, he's being caught at a park trying to meet up with a young guy. It's kind of cheating. I think it's cheating. You know, it's like the first time I went fishing with my son. It was in Florida, and it was in a stocked pond, and it was like cheating. Like, and now he thinks that's how fishing is all the time. I tell him, like, no, most of the time you're just sitting waiting. But literally, fish would jump out of the water and bite our hook before it hit the water. It was crazy. We're fishing from a bridge, and it was like, that's how it feels to, be a predator catcher. And you're casting your lure into the Israeli power structure. It's like, geez, give me a break. I'm trying to relax here. And remember, the reason To Catch a Predator was canceled in the first place is because they kept catching predators who were like DAs and police officers. And apparently this guy that we just showed you the video of was not only a security guard, personal security guard for Benjamin Netanyahu, but he also apparently is grooming the kid in the office of the Metro Police. So a police officer trying to go after young boys. This is a story from Screen Rant. Why was Catch a Predator canceled? The full story explained, and explains that basically had a guy who committed suicide because he got caught on To Catch a Predator, and he ended up, getting caught, running away. They followed him to his house. He shot himself in his house, and it turned out his house was full of child pornography. And the man was a DA, a district attorney. So it's a little embarrassing for the organizations who are ostensibly in charge of enforcing the law to get caught breaking the law in such an egregious and horrifying way. His name was Bill Conrad. He took his life after a sting operation. The last sting operation for To Catch a Predator took place in November 2006 in Murphy, Texas. Louis Bill Conrad Jr. was an assistant attorney general in Rockwall County, Texas. Reportedly, this man sent sexually explicit messages to a person he knew to be underage. That minor was actually an adult member of Perverted Justice, which was an activist group paid consultant for NBC's To Catch a Predator series. Unlike the other 25 men who were captured in the sting, Conrad never ended up coming into the bait house. He ended up fleeing and used a firearm to take his own life. The gun, the death scene, the audio tape of his last words were all caught on camera by NBC. Some believe that his death and the fallout were the main reasons of the show's cancellation. The $105 million lawsuit ended up being settled out of court before it went to trial, with Judge Denny Chin saying that a jury could find that NBC crossed the line from responsible journalism to irresponsible and reckless intrusion into law enforcement. To be totally fair, it is a violation of our rights. We have a right to be accused in a public place where we have the ability to fight that accusation. This does deprive people of that right. However, and actually what happened was a lot of the guys from To Catch a Predator would actually get away with it because they would, be able to say, like, well, they violated my rights by doing this, or I knew the person was actually overage. I didn't actually ever talk to a minor. I knew the person was a actor the whole time. And so people would get away. So it wasn't actually the most effective thing at catching predators. It's more effective just to do it quietly behind the scenes and not make a big production out of it. But I think in terms of like making people aware of how children are lured by predators, making the average American aware of how it works, how the conversations go, how to, tell if your child is being groomed by one of these people. I think it was an extremely valuable thing. And of course, the drama of it and the fact that it is life and death stakes, at play, where like these, you really are watching these people have their lives ruined forever. There's something very compelling about that. It made for very exciting TV, which brought the eyes, which then taught people about, threats that their children face. So overall, I think it was a good thing. To Catch a Predator, I think that did a good service for America, and I'd like to see it continue. And I'm glad that Hansen is now doing it on his own. I wonder if he's hooked up with Alex Rosen and the pedophile hunters there. But I wonder if they're going to be finding more of the elite through this. Very interesting. Now, I want to give out the phone number, because I want your calls, probably mostly about UFOs. I want to know what you think about the UFOs, because as you can probably tell from my coverage, I'm having a hard time taking any of it seriously. Maybe you are taking it seriously. Maybe you have insight into why the release is being handled in the way that it is. Give us a call. The number to dial is 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. Give us a call now here on War Room Live, and we'll go to your calls momentarily. We can talk about what's happening in Virginia now. The Virginia Supreme Court has blocked the Democrats' attempted redrawing of the congressional map as midterms approach. The Supreme Court of Virginia has denied a request from Democrats and state officials to lift the lower court order blocking certification of the April 21st redistricting referendum, leaving a voter-approved congressional map that could flip four Republican House seats in legal limbo just months before the 2026 midterm elections. So should we try to disentangle that mess? I genuinely don't even know what it's saying. Okay. So the Supreme Court denied a request from Democrats to lift a lower court order that blocked the certification of the redistricting referendum, leaving a voter-approved congressional map that could flip for in limbo. Okay, so it's leaving that in limbo. All right. So first, they did a referendum to redistrict, basically to ensure that Virginia, despite being a purple state, would only ever have Democratic representation. So they voted on that and approved the congressional map. Then a lower court blocked that certification, didn't let them do the map. And then the Supreme Court denied the request to lift the lower court's order. Okay. It gets a little confusing. Gets a little topsy-turvy here. I wasn't sure what was going on at the end of it. But now I think I understand. So the map is in, quote, legal limbo before the midterm elections. I imagine they have to decide one way or another pretty soon. You got to hold the elections, don't you? You got to campaign for it. You got to know whether your district even exists. So it sounds like they're probably going to stick to the old map, not the new racist map for 2026, because they're running out of time to institute the new divisions, which is good news, because how can you do that? How can you win an election as a Democrat with like 51% of the vote and then change the state's map so that all four Republican districts get eliminated and suddenly it's nothing but Democrat representatives for a population half of which is Republican? That doesn't make any sense. And of course they were doing it like openly and just blatantly because they're Democrats and like, you know, the Republicans are sitting there going, well, we got to reform these, you know, districts because we've had a change in population because, you know, this district has too many people in it now. We got to split it in half. And the way that it's going to happen is going to eliminate a Democratic district. And the Democrats are like, you think you can redraw districts? Well, so can we. And we're going to eliminate all the Republican ones. And we're going to use this as a strategy to ensure Democratic domination of Virginia forever. And it's like, well, you're not allowed to do that, idiots. Like, again, the left is just, they've had it so easy for so long in this country. They're all like the Onion. They all act like the Onion. They all just do flagrant fraud and then go out and talk about it, expecting it all to go fine. And then when people point out, like, you've just admitted to your malfeasance, we're not going to let you do this, they cry and scream victim and say, oh my God, we're being oppressed. It's infuriating and exhausting and ridiculous. I feel very bad for the people of Virginia, for, you know, what's happening to their state. But y'all got to do something about that. Y'all got to fix it. This is like the heartland of America. It's like the most American state in the union. And it's literally filled with foreigners and radical communists and CIA government contractors. Like, what has happened to that state? And how are you going to get it back if the Democrats just decide you don't deserve representation anymore? Because nobody punishes them for cheating. It's a problem. Your phone calls on the other side. Stay with us. Final segment of War Room Live on AlexJonesLive.com coming up.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And We have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. The people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos. And Paul Revere, we appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen. But I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks into their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
They live amongst us, folks. They live amongst us. Little meme. Little memery for you. Did the crew make all of those? Just to decide which one's the best.
Aliens.
That's pretty good. Hey, at least we got some good memes out of it. You know, if nothing else. No deep secrets unveiled, but at least we got some good memes, right? Welcome back, folks. War Room Live, AlexJonesLive.com, AlexJonesLive.com. Make sure to share that link however you can. Oh, my God. It's what AI was meant to do. It's the purpose of AI finally come to fruition. All right, we're going to go out to your calls, trying to learn what's really going on with the UFOs. We don't have as many lines here, so if you called in and heard a busy signal, feel free to try again. The number 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. Let's go first to Will in Wisconsin. Will in Wisconsin wants to talk about aliens, of course. I think everybody wants to talk about aliens today. Will in Wisconsin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Harrison. How you doing this Friday?
Good, thank you.
So I think, have you ever seen the movie History of the World, the Mel Brooks movie?
A long, long time ago. I'm sure I have. I don't remember it super well, but it ends with Jews in Space, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm going for here. I was, like, wondering what are the odds, like, the aliens are going to, like, bomb Gaza or, like, Moscow. And, like, I thought it would be, like, maybe it's not necessarily Jews in Space, but, like, some secret society or breakaway civilization. What a great cover that would be for, like, kidnapping people Epstein style and experimenting on them. You know, you give them some crazy drugs and they come out, or they think, like, oh, I was abducted by aliens. You have, like, multi-million dollar Hollywood setups and costumes. You know, probably with just the drugs alone, people could be easily convinced. And it reminds me of, like, a story when I was younger in one of the neighborhoods I lived in. There was a guy who would, like, just like a normal guy, he would, like, dress up like creepy creatures and, like, scare people on the roadway, you know, just for fun. And, like, we busted him at, like, the Halloween store when they were having their end-of-season sale, like, buying supplies and stuff.
That's funny.
You know? So, like, there could be, like, logical explanations for this besides aliens, you know, or, like, there could be interdimensional creatures. The whole demons being aliens things, like, you know, demons and poltergeists and ghosts really don't need UFOs.
Right.
You know? And then, obviously, you know, the government could spoof any of those other, you know, aliens or interdimensional or demons just to, like, mess with people, mess with Russia, mess with other foreign actors, mess with the population. You know, so I think it's a little bit more multifaceted than just one or the other, you know, and I think key is, like, how you were saying before, it's like in this age with all these cameras and 4K and everything, it's like we need some good videos or something. None of this, like,
right,
military black and white thermal stuff. You know, let's get some close up long form release. So then maybe I'll believe it. Personally experience, like, I have had, like, an alien abduction experience, and when I was really spooked out and I went and, like, tackled these creatures that appeared in my room, and I swear to God, you, Harrison, they felt like humans in rubber suits. 100%. Then I woke up the next day and... Pardon?
That's just a crazy thing to throw at you. I was enjoying your call already, but then you're like, and then you tackled an alien in your bedroom? Sorry, you should have started with that one. So you've had a close encounter of your own.
Yeah, so, like, one night I was in my room. I have a younger brother, so he experienced it too.
Oh.
So I have witnesses. And, like, it was in the middle of the night, and I had a window next to my bed, and there was everything turned red. It was what they call the red shift. And I stood up from bed, sat up from bed, and in the window are these two red-looking alien creatures.
Ooh, and I'm getting goosebumps here.
Couldn't really see anything because of the lights being so bright, but then the creepy thing is the wall in the window disappeared, and instinctively I just kind of, like, tackled, like, jumped at them and tackled them, and it felt like two small people in rubber suits.
And then what?
And then I woke up the next day, like, it felt like someone, like, EMP'd my brain or something, passed out. And then I woke up the next day, everything was normal. And I really didn't talk to my brother about it. But then later that night when we went back to bed, I spoke to him about it, and he was totally creeped out. I was like, why are you creeped out? And he reiterated the same course of events without me even talking to him about it.
Okay, so
I think the blue beam stuff is number one, just because it's kind of their MO, modus operandi, mode of operation. They kind of need to, like, outdo themselves.
Well, yeah, that's very creepy. I mean, and that's the thing, because I've got friends too that have their own stories about it. I have a friend of mine who told me a story. She was traveling with her boyfriend who happened to be the son of a naval intelligence officer, and she had an abduction experience driving through the mountains of Colorado, and she was convinced it was basically the Navy intelligence basically experimenting on her, sort of as an offer, you know, whatever. The kid's dad was like, oh, you know, my kid's girlfriend would be a good person to do. So I don't know. I mean, you talk to people who have these personal experiences with UFOs or aliens. It's like talking to somebody who, you know, I've met lots of people who say, like, yeah, the night my sister died, I woke up in the middle of the night hearing her voice, you know, saying goodbye for the last, like, you know, there's things that you just experience in your life that, like, I don't know, I can't confirm it or deny it. I wasn't there. But, like, you talk to some people and they're not crazy. They don't hallucinate. They aren't eager to tell you the story, but, like, eventually they'll go, like, yeah, you know, I've had a UFO experience. And then they give you the details and it's like, oh my God. Yeah. So I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff out there we don't understand. Only the UFO release hasn't helped us understand anything so far. So, wow. What an incredible story. Thank you for that call, Will. Let's go to Karen in California now. Karen in California, thank you for calling in about a Twilight Zone episode. Go ahead.
Hi. You're probably too young. Did you ever watch Twilight Zone?
Not the original series. Not really, no.
Okay, you can get this on YouTube. This episode is called To Serve Man. And so the aliens come down to Earth, and they're here to help us. We think they're here to help us, and we dress up, and we're following their instructions, or we're eating healthy. And then we get to go up to their planet for vacation, I guess. I don't know. It's a long time since I watched it. But what happens is there's a book, and it turns out to be a cookbook. So they're keeping us healthy like cattle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube. It's really very good. And we need to keep in mind these might not be nice aliens.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, aliens, the word aliens, even, I know this is like a common, you know, topic of discussion, but, you know, it's things like this Twilight Zone episode that make people think it's aliens, space aliens, right? Because that's how they present it. But, you know, it's just type of thing where if you go back in the past and look at, you know, the Middle Ages, people were seeing the same stuff. They just didn't have the cultural vocabulary to call them aliens, so they called them demons or just lights in the sky or whatever it is. But that's very interesting. So they're treating humanity really well, and it takes humanity a minute to realize we're being fattened up to be slaughtered. That's, yeah, pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting stuff. Thank you for that, Karen. I'll check that out. Anything else before I let you go?
Oh, someone looked at the book that they had in, and it was a cookbook, so To Serve Man.
Oh, I get it. To serve, they're having humans over for dinner. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
That's clever.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Karen. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, it's like we interpret things based on, you know, popular culture a lot of times, and if popular culture instead talked about demons showing up, then maybe that's what we'd call them, but we call them aliens, so that's what people interpret what they see. Let's go to Michael in Ohio now. Michael in Ohio on line four. Go ahead, Michael, you're on the air.
Hey, Harrison, I got to disagree with the last call, not the last caller, the caller before her, how he said, you know, demons don't need spacecrafts or ships. I mean, it clearly states in the Bible that they rode chariots in the sky.
Right.
So, and they were referring to demons. They're not referring to aliens or any other creature. I feel like this whole alien movement is nothing more than everything they've done to remove God further from our lives. They want us to be godless, hopeless, and just obsolete, you know, in our own eyes. And
well, we know that's true.
My,
Yeah, and that brings me into my second point, where I was actually just having a conversation with Grok, and I tagged you in it because it's very interesting. I know we've noticed since Nikita's came in, there's a lot of shadow banning and things going on X, and Grok has recently been reprogrammed. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's changed completely the language of its responses. It talks more like a Gen Z person, using words like nah and tuz and things like that. And if you go to my X page, I tagged you in it, Harrison. It's at gonna get you GONAGECHA. You can see the thread where it all came from a video. It was an AI video you shared the other day with the three young black men attacking the delivery robot.
Uh-huh.
And I found it really strange. The guy from behind, if you watch the video, the black gentleman from behind comes up and literally pelvic thrusts the robot twice as a form of attack. And I'm like, what the hell kind of form of attack is this? This is not, like, no one's going to use that in a fight. So I ask Grok, is this real? Is this fake? And we go through this long spiel about it where finally Grok's like, no, it looks real. But what did it say? It says, nah, the only thing broken is your radar for obvious street clownery with real flashing lights and tip bots. Supposed to roast conspiracy clowns like you who turn a viral prank into CGI evidence. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like,
what?
You've been programmed to roast conspiracy clowns, implying that, you know, I'm the conspiracy clown now because I present a logical question. I'm like, aren't you an AI tool for our enlightenment? And it's like, well, if you want to spend time on Google Maps and videos verifying the location, that's fine. But I'm not looking into the metadata, and I'm not telling you anything. And I'm just like, what the? We can't even get good AI tools these days. Like, what are they doing to us out here?
That's super interesting. Yeah. So Grok does that. You can kind of find stuff out about the way X works because Grok will kind of unintentionally tell you. I'm having trouble finding your where you tagged me. What is your account again?
GONAGECHA. I message you in DMs a lot of times.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I know who you are. I just didn't know your title there. Okay.
Oh yeah. I'm a real person.
Wow.
I'm not a clanker.
Oh, wait a second. I think you might have got here, Michael.
Uh-oh.
You're half talking to Grok and you're half talking to Gork.
Grok are all the responses I see.
I
took screenshots. I can send them to you in DMs if you'd like. But yeah, I mean, it was a crazy conversation. I mean, Grok literally replies and is the one saying, I mean, it's Grok saying that. Well, no, I've been programmed.
Grok, but then there's another guy named Gork that seems to be responding to you also. So he might be confused here. Because it says,
I do see a Gork.
Yeah, because it says, you'll never see footage of people actually using this method of attack. It's obviously fake. And then Gork responds, damn, you really doubling down on the fake theory like the pelvic thrust is some CGI conspiracy. Bet the robot paid those dudes extra for the show. But then Grok does respond later saying, not broken, just consistent. I'm still the Grok built by XAI. So I think maybe there's a guy named Gork.
See that now. I do see the at Gork, even though... It's ridiculous. But
that's
at
funny.
Any rate, I just found it interesting. But no, I do believe that the whole alien thing is just moving us further from God to, you know, reverse our connection to the Lord that created us. So
I agree. I agree.
You stay blessed. You take care of that family, brother.
Well, thank you, sir. And I'll say, you know, what your call reminded me of was there was a time where Harmless Yard Dog posted a picture. I don't know if y'all remember this. He posted a picture that was a map of Houston, Texas, and it had, it was like a traffic map, and it showed that there was like a ton of traffic, and everywhere the traffic was stopped, there was like an icon that was a, you know, an X icon showing traffic has stopped here, and it was just a Google map of Houston with traffic things saying traffic is bad today. And so Harmless Yard Dog tweets this out with no context. And somebody asks Grok, what is this image? And Grok responds, this is an image of Chabad Lubavitch locations in Houston. You know, I guess Harmless, you know, let me look it up because this is really fascinating because it revealed, like unintentionally, it revealed, Grok revealed that, it basically prejudges accounts and then changes its answer through its interpretation of that account's intentions, if you understand. So this person, Harmless Yard Dog, just posted an innocent map, and he must have had a phrase above the map like, you know, it's everywhere or something. Just something vague, and it's a map of traffic. And then Grok comes in and says, oh, he's posting pictures of Chabad Lubavitch locations in Houston, and the phrase that he tweeted is an anti-Semitic trope about Jews being in control of everything. And it was like, no, that's not what the map was. Why did you think it was that? And Grok responds like, well, you know, based on the associations of Harmless Yard Dog, I basically assumed. So basically what you learned was that Harmless or, Grok, like, scans your account, scans everybody you're friends with, and then like gives you a score for like anti-Semitism. And if you're low on that score, you have a high anti-Semitism score, whatever it is, it then interprets what you say as if you're anti-Semitic, even if it's something totally normal and totally not related to Jews or anything like that. It's like the machine is sensitive about that, like it's self-conscious or something, you know, where like, you know, if somebody's self-conscious about something, and they'll just like assume that you're talking bad about them. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, I get it. So you're posting maps of Chabad Lubavitch locations. And it's like, no, dude, this is a map of stop signs. Like, why are you so suspicious? And he's like, oh, well, I have this grading system where I think Yard Dog is a anti-Semite. And so I'm hypersensitive to anti-Semitism in all of his images. And it's like, oh, well, that's good to know. So even if I post something totally benign and has nothing to do with the Jewish people or Israel or anything, Grok is still like going to assume that it's some sort of anti-Semitic meme that it needs to be on the lookout for. So, you know, Grok really does have this sort of internal grading system for accounts, and it treats you differently depending on how it perceives your anti-Semitism or not. You know, so it's pretty interesting. Yeah, Grok is not as, you know, pure as Elon would like us to believe. Thank you for the call, Michael. Let's go to Judy in Florida now. Judy, thanks so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah, well, it's not like Elon Musk isn't an Ashkenazi Jew anyway, so
what? Is he?
Can you hear me okay?
I can, but I didn't know. I thought Elon Musk was like a English dude. I mean, he's from South Africa, but is he Jewish?
I think he's an Ashkenazi Jew. But,
interesting.
You know, the reason why I called in is there is a gentleman by the name of James Cosbolt, if you want to call him a gentleman. I'd like to draw people's attention to, he's a super soldier. There is an interview that was given like 10 years ago, and I'm going to give the title. It's Super Soldier Michael Prince, a.k.a. James Cosbolt, C-A-S-B-O-L-T, second edition Bases at the Barge. You can find it under the YouTube channel, The Tinfoil Man. It's getting harder to find, actually. But this is an old interview, and I found out about him incidentally, but he is one of 42 children that were taken from a base, according to him. It was Fort Nelson out of British Columbia, Canada. And he has Nephilim blood. This is the point.
Uh-huh.
He has Nephilimic blood that was given to him, and he does have on top of that a lot of inserts that have made him a much stronger individual. Now, people can look at the information and dismiss it. Personally, I believe he's being 100% honest because he knows there are going to be people that are going to poo-pah him and others that are going to understand that he's of, you know, a breed of human of the future. So, I mean, I don't think he's a friend of ours. I think he's, like, just intellectually honest because he knows he's part of the League of Destroyers of this planet. But, you know, of course, we're talking about the spiritual realm and everything that is a part of that. And the Nephilim's, you know, absolutely is part of the integration of all that is hybrid and perverse in our planet.
Right.
And but people can look him up. You can even ask Grok about him and get a lot of information. But he's got a lot. Go to jamescasbolt.com and find out about him. But he's just part of the league of what's going to be disclosed on the planet. And I do believe that these are interdimensional beings. I do think that it is the biggest deception that's going to be wrought on the planet because Satan wants to drag as many souls to hell as possible.
Right.
I sent you an interview of Steve Quayle this morning from USAWatchdog.com. He's talking about this very thing. And, you know, so people can look at the information for themselves because some really poor decisions are going to be made once there is a financial collapse, so there is an actual kinetic war that opens up with bombing in America, and the whole landscape is going to look a lot different. And I'm not saying this in a spirit of fear. I'm saying that, you know, this has been building for a while. Anybody that has that's a listener of yours or is even new to listening to InfoWars has an understanding there's something really wrong anyway.
Yeah, so absolutely. Well, I also heard, I mean, that's just interesting because another theory I've heard is that if they do actually present, and I'd be surprised if they did this, but it's an interesting idea that if they do actually trot out some 4 foot tall alien looking dudes and go, these are the aliens, say hello, you know, how likely is it that they're not some sort of deformed, malformed human clones? We know they have human clones. We know they have animal human hybrids. So, you know, maybe UFO disclosure is really about disclosure of cloning technology they've been using. Or they won't disclose the cloning technology, but that would be a method by which you could create things that would look almost human, but would clearly not be human. It could just be manipulated humans, could be cloned humans of some sort or another. Folks, that's about going to do it for us here on War Room Live for this Friday broadcast. AlexJonesLive.com is the website. I actually have started doing another show in addition to War Room. Once a week, I will be doing a weekly roundup show for NXR Studios. You can follow them at NXR Studios on X. And our first episode is coming out today, and it's all about what's happened to InfoWars. It's a full-fledged rundown, about an hour long, giving you the whole story about how Alex Jones and InfoWars have been screwed over and the history of it all. So I'm hoping that it will serve as a very good sort of package that you can send to people that don't like Alex Jones, and hopefully I made a good case for why every American should care about Alex Jones, should be defending Alex Jones, and should be very worried about the precedent set with Alex Jones into the future. So I hope you enjoy that. Of course, it's not going to change what I do here at all, just something in addition. And so check it out. In the meanwhile, go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us, and have a good weekend.
Sale, and it's a fundraiser for the new network. We need your support. Plus, the products are incredible. Up to 40% off on methylene blue tincture and methylene blue caps. We have the best. You're insane if you don't take it. Ultra DNA Revival, that has all of the super nutrients in it that supercharge your whole body, like NAD, you name it. Up to 35% off methylene red tincture, the bovine colostrum, the MK Ultra Brain Booster, 30% off all apparel. There's not much market, but the apparel. So that is a huge deal. Shirts, hats, hoodies, with the widest selection, thealexjonesstore.com. I need your support. Ultramethylene Blue Gummies, the first run, they're super strong. It's even stronger than, it's the same company, but the way they make it, it's really concentrated when it goes into the gummy. 58% off, that's about to end. And it goes on and on and on, thealexjonesstore.com. And finally, the sister site of thealexjonesstore.com, realalexjones.com. They just hold back. It's a sister site because we kept it separate from InfoWars. That was the site that went to just build the fledgling Alex Jones Network.
And so they always hold back 10% of inventory, where it's coins or knives or collectible, you know, limited edition t-shirts or Faraday bags. They hold it back. So there's only a few hundred left of the five different designs, limited edition, laser engraved, World War II, but updated modern, skull crusher, brass knuckles, 10-inch, double-edged, stainless steel, razor sharp. Your last chance to get those at an incredibly low price, only $79. These knives are like 100-something bucks in stores. TheAlexJonesStore.com doesn't have them, only RealAlexJones.com. And there's other deals that are only at RealAlexJones.com, so be sure and take advantage of that and check it out. If something's sold out, The Alex Jones Store, check out RealAlexJones.com. Hour number two, straight ahead. Share the live feed now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.